Good Thursday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. It is super sticky out there this morning. The humidity will be high. It'll be a hot day today. 90 for our high temp. We could see some scattered evening thunderstorms break out tonight and tomorrow night. Pay close attention to the weather. Potential for some severe storms tomorrow night. Right now, it's partly cloudy. We have 69 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. South winds at 7. The dew point right now, 68. Anything above 60, it starts to feel sticky out. So, yes, definitely very humid out there this morning. Fargo police, we were told yesterday about a third incident of violence that took place in the morning of last weekend's deadly shootings downtown and on the south side. Police Chief Dave Zabolski says a downtown assault occurred in the 300 block of Broadway that took place shortly after the two shootings, and that's left one person in critical condition. Public images of two wanted suspects have been released. Meanwhile, Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner says an early analysis regarding the delayed communication of that serious assault shows some communication issues. He spoke last night with Flag Family News reporter Chris Larson. He says there was confusion over whether or not the Fargo Police Department actually responded to that call. Regardless, Johnner says that's not an excuse. He says he plans to meet with Metro Police Chiefs West Fargo's Pete Nielsen and Fargo's Dave Zabolski regarding any potential changes that need to be made. You may have noticed mosquitoes have gotten quite bad across the metro area, and in response to West Nile virus cases that have been popping up, Cass County Vector Control is going to be conducting some aerial mosquito spraying tonight. Spraying is set for 7:30 in Fargo, West Fargo, and Moorhead. Cass County Vector Control says our area is at a high risk level with 5 local infections and 11 cases of West Nile reported across North Dakota. They're reminding you to avoid outdoor activities during the time frame to reduce exposure and to ensure your safety and keep your kids away from the area, too, as they are doing that spraying again. It'll be aerial spraying this time. You'll see extra patrols around Moorhead leading up to the new school year. The police chief's launching a targeted traffic enforcement effort following last week's crash that left a boy dead. 9-year-old Adam Amin was riding his bike. He was run over by a city truck at 40th Avenue South and 14th Street. Minnesota State Patrol is still investigating that crash. Get caught speeding through a construction zone in North Dakota and it'll cost you more. New law has increased the minimum traffic fine from $80 to $150. The goal is to create safer roads for workers and drivers. Tough news for some RDO equipment employees in the Red River Valley. The Fargo-based company has laid off 17 team members, about 2% of its total workforce. The reduction affects 8 RDO locations, and leadership says the decision was driven by challenges in the ag economy. North Dakota healthcare students can now apply for a new scholarship. Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Dakota says 30 in-state students will receive a scholarship worth $2,500. A state healthcare leader will also be awarded $5,000. Full-time students pursuing a degree in healthcare can apply online on North Dakota Blue Cross Blue Shield website. Vance Bolter is due in federal court later today for an arraignment in the shootings of two Minnesota lawmakers. That hearing comes about 3 weeks after he was indicted on 6 counts, including murder, stalking, and firearms offenses for the shootings of Melissa and Mark Hortman and John and Yvette Hoffman. He'll be read the charges against him and enter a plea. If convicted, Bolter faces the death penalty. Minnesota Twins down the Detroit Tigers 9-4 in their series rubber match yesterday afternoon. Pearson Ohl gave up 4 runs over 2 2/3 innings and a no decision. Thomas Hatch threw 4 1/3 shutout innings in relief, earning that win. Cody Funderburk and Brooks Kreisky each tossed a scoreless inning out of the bullpen. Luke Kreutschel led the offense with 3 RBIs. Alan Roden, Brooks Lee, and Austin Martin each also hit a solo home run. Ryan Jeffers and Mickey Gasper added an RBI apiece. Twins are now off today before returning home to Target Field for a weekend series against the Royals. First pitch set for 7:10 tomorrow night. Joe Ryan is set to be on the mound for Minnesota. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks versus Lincoln Salt Dogs. They had a 7-inning doubleheader because of a rainout the day before. Game 1, the Redhawks walked off the Salt Dogs 8-7. Game 2, Fargo Moorhead edged Lincoln 3-2 to sweep that doubleheader. The Redhawks and Salt Dogs wrap up their 3-game series tonight. First pitch set for 7:02. PGA Tour St. Jude Championship. This is taking place in Memphis, Tennessee. Golfers begin teeing off at 7:20. Tom Hoge tees off his opening round at 8. He'll be in a group with Matt Fitzpatrick. And tune into Primetime Sports tonight from 6:30 to 7 with Big Game James McCarty and Jace Denman right here on WDAY Radio. It is going to be a hot, sticky day today. Partly cloudy, scattered evening thunderstorms. Some of those could be severe. 90 for the high, winds south, southeast 5 to 15, 68 our overnight low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid. Dino calling for the potential for some very strong storms. So tomorrow night, pay close attention to the weather. Dean will be on air with us if we do have a severe weather outbreak. 90 for the high temp, winds will be south, southeast 5 to 15. And then weather will calm down over the weekend. Cooler, mostly sunny, 83 our high on Saturday and Sunday. Partly to mostly sunny with a high of 81. Right now it's partly cloudy. We have 69 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. High top I 29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the south at 7. Again, very sticky out there. Our dew point right now at 68. 5:07, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Then a song in the morn and question of the morn coming up. Thursday morning, welcome in. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and you. I found my voice again. My cold is getting better. Really, it is. And I thought
you paused there for a second, Bonnie. I'm adjusting my chair. Don't lose your voice now.
Thanks for showing up to do the sports. I was already cracking up in the news, and then I had to do the sports on top of it. But don't worry about me. I'm fine. I even took an extra swig of cough medicine before, and I had 4 cups of tea. I thought I was doing great this morning, and then start reading the news, and it's like I barely made it through, but I survived.
Well, it's one of those things you think you're fine, but then
I know.
The thing is you're here preparing for the show, and you're not talking, so you feel fine.
Kind of.
And then as soon as you start talking, that's when your voice is like, you know what? I'm not ready for this.
I actually did a bunch of recordings. I had some ads, and I had some news.
So you wasted your voice on that.
That must have been it. That was probably weird. Okay, so yesterday.
Priorities.
Yesterday. I took a 3-hour nap. I guess I butt dialed Trucker Al. Later on, I'm like, did you call me again? He goes, no, you called me. I'm like, no, I didn't. And he tells me what time. I'm like, oh, I was probably shutting my phone and ringer up as I was going to sleep, and he had to be the last call. So I suppose I accidentally hit a button.
I think for probably the second day in a row, this time I did lay on the couch instead of this, I don't know what kind of chair it is. There's a special name for the chair we have. It's kind of like one of those little round half circle things.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Some type of weird chair. Anyway, I laid on the couch and got comfortable, and I was almost asleep. And then I had some work stuff I had to deal with. And then when I tried to actually take a nap, then maybe I slept an hour. And part of it is if I try and take a nap in the living room, then with more sunlight and stuff up there, I won't sleep as long. So I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
But it was another one of those unfulfilling naps where it's just like you took a nap, but you're like,
Mine was good. I needed it because I'm sick and I'm trying to recover. And the night before, I didn't sleep because people were making noise and waking me up.
Rude.
But then, so I got my 3-hour nap in. Then last night, bolted out of bed, thought it was time to wake up at 9:15 p.m. I thought it was 1:15 when my alarm went off.
Yeah.
Legit, I grabbed my stuff off the bench, go to the bathroom, start brushing my teeth. And then it's like, there's people in the living room talking. What? It's only 9:15?
Yeah.
And then, of course, I couldn't fall back asleep, so I tossed and turned until 1:15 when it was time to get up. But I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
That's fine. You'll be fine.
I'm fine.
Sort of.
Put a Band-Aid on it. I'm good.
I guess.
Question of the morning. What tips or tricks do you have for keeping your life organized and calm? Somebody's probably thinking, calm? What do you mean? Yeah, that's what I mean. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. 5:18, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. It is a sticky morning. It is going to be hot and sticky today. Yeah, yesterday afternoon, boy, the humidity ended up kicking up big time out there.
Yeah, after my nap, since it just, I don't know why, maybe there's something ever since surgery, but I swear I get colder more easily in the house. I mean, the house is set to like 73 degrees, so
that's a good temp.
It's a great temp, but at the same time, if you're sitting there taking a nap for some reason, you need a little blanket, a little something, keep
you're
going.
You're getting old.
So I go outside, and I sit in the warmth, and it wasn't like around, what was it, 2:30-ish or so? I mean, it was more human.
Sticky.
But as the time went on, it got warmer and warmer. So when my wife got off work and came in, she's like, you sitting out here? It's hot out. And I'm like, I was kind of chilly inside, so I came out here to kind of warm up. She was like walking around the store, so she was kind of warm. So she was like ready to sit down and cool off. So
yeah, the young kids, Carly and Milos and Zara and Logan, all went for a walk like about 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
You guys are going for a walk in this stuff? You're nuts. But they did. And they all were like, oh, it's so hot out. It's like, could have told you that. Just walk outside rather than going for a 3 mile walk.
I know, right?
Sticky right now. Dew points at 68. Actual temperature 69 degrees. Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. What tips or tricks do you have for keeping your life organized and calm? Phone lines are always open. Anything else you want to talk about? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Go to the phone lines. We find our friend David this morning. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning, Bonnie.
How are ya?
Good. How about you?
No complaints. I mean, I could complain, but I won't. I'm not much of a complainer. I'm just trying to get
not
through
on
this
the air. She isn't
dumb cold that I have, but it's no. I just have like a pesky cold. I don't feel bad. I never had a fever. I never had a sore throat. It's just, you know how colds are. They're just annoying.
Yep.
Nobody ever wants to be sick, but I'm fine.
That's great.
Yeah. Jace is just sitting over there.
Yeah,
laughing.
She said she's fine, so be careful.
I am.
I'm fine. Yeah. It's fine.
David's married. He knows what
yeah,
that
exactly.
means. Yeah, exactly. Jace, be careful, buddy.
I know.
Well, you seem to have your life all in order, nice and calm. Do you have any tricks for the rest of us, tips or tricks for keeping your life organized and calm?
Very simple. Just plan ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some people don't. They procrastinate until the last second. And it's just and for those of us that plan ahead and like to keep our stress level low and we kind of get things organized ahead of time, those people that don't do it that way just drive us batty, don't they?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Big game James McCarty and I have that conversation a lot because James and I both have active brains. We don't like to stress out about stuff. If something needs to get done, we're going to get done. And then we have to sometimes work with certain people that they don't have a care in the world. Everything's last minute. And it's just like,
how do you work that way?
I don't know. And it creates extra stress for those on the receiving end.
That's right.
Y'all working out this morning, kickboxing?
Yes, ma'am.
Good for you. Yeah. That's. I need to get my workout routine back in order here after I evict my temporary tenants. They get to move into their house a little sooner than they thought. August 22nd, they get to move into their new house. So it's been nice. But when you have two families, including a baby and three extra pets in your house, it kind of gets to be a lot.
Yeah.
But it's good.
Yeah.
We're looking for our own space back, and they're looking for their new space. So a couple more. Well, another. Well, two more weeks, I guess. A couple more weeks. David, it's always good hearing from you.
Yeah, you take care, Bonnie and Jace.
Yes, you,
betcha.
You too. Thank you. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. I live a calm life. It was hectic, you know, when the kids were little and you had all their activities and you're running to here and you're doing work to begin with. And I'm a cook, so it's like I was making meals. And then you got three kids and they're in different activities.
I thought you were
a news
person.
That too.
Oh, okay.
Three kids, different activities. And it's just like I would, on the busiest days, in order to keep my stress level low, I would sometimes have to break my day up into hour segments. Like have notes written, post-it notes. That's my key to staying calm. Everything's written on post-it notes. But having all the schedule there, and it's like, okay, that's done. Check that off.
Mm-hmm.
That's done.
Yeah,
check that off.
I usually like to-do lists or lists to remind me of things I have to get done. Because sometimes just the simple fact of writing down, like last week I had a number of ads to get done that were, I had all the elements. I just needed to put them together when I came to work after our show. And so I wrote those down and then able to just cross them off when they're done. And I always like that because then it feels like you've kind of got like your list of stuff that needs to get done organized. And then you can just check it off one at a time. And then when that list gets all those lines get run through everything, then you know you're done with your stuff. And then you can move on to whatever else pops up.
Exactly. So. Like normal busy life when the kids were little or whatever. Normal was fine. But then if you had something different, like you had a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment or a teacher conference. So it was like extra on top of extra already.
Yep.
I remember the craziest days. I was making 14 trips a day running my kids around to different activities.
See, that's why I never had my kids in any activities.
Well, they had religion on. Two of my
kids, I just didn't want to go anywhere, so I'm like, I'm not signing them up.
Two of my kids had speech therapy. That went on for like 6 years for both of them, separate times. You know, there's 5 years between them. They had religion classes, and then they were all in. They got to be in one activity apiece. So whether it was volleyball or dance or basketball, baseball, you know, per season or whatever. I mean, there was a lot of running between dropping them off, then you go back home, make supper, whatever you're doing. Then later on, you had to go back and pick them up. And
Well, I know. I mean, and I know in our house, it's always been important for the girls when they were in school. Only one left, but it was always important for them to catch the bus because obviously I had to leave before they were, before the bus is going to show up. And now I leave even earlier, so it's important that they get on the bus and get to school. But there were times when, you know, I'm at work here and my wife is at work as well. And so she had to go to work before, you know, my youngest is even up. And so if she's running behind, you know, and she misses the bus, well, then all of a sudden she's got to get to school. So that always creates a little bit of hecticness. And so it's little things like that, even though the reality is that taking your kid over to the school, it's a couple, 2.5 miles away. It's not the biggest deal in the world, but it throws everything else on your schedule out of order.
Normal routine, right?
And if you're someone that really likes to have your routine, and once you do this, you're over here, you don't have to worry about it because they're taking the bus, whatever, it can throw them out of their rhythm, out of their schedule. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, between me and my wife, I know that affects my wife more than it affects me. I'm just like, eh, whatever. Whatever pops up,
we'll just have to roll with it, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing for me. That's how, I suppose, in a sense, I keep things less stressful. It's just like, okay, what's the next thing on the list?
Exactly.
Because, you know, for a lot of people, quite honestly, when you try to make your world less stressful, I know there's a lot of people that who would have been in my situation in November and December would have been absolutely just positively stressed out.
Yep.
Or if they're one of my family members, they would have been stressed out. And I know my folks were stressed. My wife was stressed out. You know, there's nothing I can do about that. But for me, myself, all it is like, okay, this is what we're doing today. This is what we need to do. This is what we need you to get up and do. We need you to walk around the hospital wing a couple times to get that exercise in, et cetera, et cetera. So you need to do that. You need to do this. Okay. Well, then we'll just knock it off one thing at a time.
Exactly.
And all you can do is what's in front of you. Because, you know, worrying about stuff, and I know you can't change your mind. I know James can't change his mind. Worrying about stuff doesn't help anything. All you can do is do what you can. And a lot of times if it's work related and it doesn't get done by the end of the workday, well, then there's always tomorrow. So
I don't worry about stuff. It's just like I just like to do everything right. And if there's a job that needs to be done, by golly, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and it's going to get done.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's why I don't like waiting on other people. But I don't worry or freak out about stuff. I do have some high-stress friends or relatives. Mm-hmm. And some of them bring it on themselves.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, calm down, make a list, do what you can do.
And, you know, if anything, if it's important to you, and usually work stuff usually is, but, you know, if possible, because I've gotten myself in trouble over the years in a sense of procrastinating, like, oh, I've got plenty of time to do it, and you just kind of mosey about taking your time, then all of a sudden you get down to crunch time.
That would stress me out if I operated that way.
And sometimes for somebody like myself, maybe that extra pressure that gets put on you, maybe that's what helps kind of, you know, turn that coal, chunk of coal into a diamond or whatever, but realistically, you'd like to be able to do stuff and keep ahead. I keep trying to tell my youngest, don't let yourself get behind. And it was even true for the older one. If she stays ahead of everything and gets stuff done and stays on task, then you're not going to get behind. Then you're not going to be stressed out like, well, my grade has dropped in this class because I'm 3 assignments behind. You know, get the stuff done each time. Don't say like, oh, I can do that tomorrow. You know, I can do it in study hall tomorrow. That's what my oldest always used to say. It never really kind of worked that way. Just get the stuff done. That way you know it's done, and then you're not going to miss out on points that affect your grade.
I'm just an overachiever. So like I said, I always try to perform at top and get it done.
She still is an overachiever.
I am. I am an overachiever.
Which is good, because that way I'm just like, whatever.
I pick up your slack. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Oh, there's a lot of it, though.
I know. I don't mind, though.
Just show up at 5:15 at the latest.
What tips or tricks do you have for keeping your life organized and calm? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning, 701-293-9000. You can email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Janet seems like she's like my daughter, Carly. Carly has to have everything like labeled, organized. It's got to be in order. Janet buys some see-through storage containers with zippers on them so she can
have
everything in there like
so
that.
So many little baskets in our house.
For organization. Is everything neat?
Allegedly.
But is everything neat in the baskets?
No. Well, at least not in my basket.
It
because
is for Carly.
Because
Carly's
the stuff
really
doesn't fit
stuff.
In the basket because the basket, the bottom of the basket, it's not as wide as you need it, so the stuff doesn't stack in there. Plus, there's usually like a little ridge towards the outside of the basket just because the way they make the basket.
Yeah.
So then stuff ends up on an angle or whatever, and it's just and the basket takes up more room than if you just put the stuff in the closet to begin with. So it's not really very helpful. I mean, I speak from experience because somebody in my house loves to buy these baskets to help organize, and they don't organize anything.
701-293-9000. What tips or tricks do you have for keeping your life calm and organized? Go to the phone lines. I'm looking at the area code. Is this Gary in Connecticut?
No, it's Dean.
Hi, Dean. Oh, it's you, Dean. How are you?
I just got out of the hospital and I'm going to sleep, but I wanted to give you a weather update before I went night-night.
Okay. Well, you go ahead. What, you want me to put you on hold during weather or you want to do it right now? It's up to you.
It's your show. I'm just playing along in it. That's all.
What are we expecting here, Dino? I'll tweak my written forecast here based on what you said.
Actually, you're probably spot on.
Okay,
we've got back to back severe weather days here. It's been a while since we've seen that, but we do stand a chance of severe weather. Now the daytime hours today are going to be fine. So if you have outdoor plans today, go ahead. We'll see thunderstorms and some of those will be severe developing out in the western part of the state. And this is going to be a west to east event. These are going to race eastward and areas around, let's say, Bismarck and Jamestown will probably feel these by late afternoon and they'll keep riding east towards the valley and into Lakes Country towards evening. Now, by the time they get to our area, they're probably going to be in a slightly weakening phase. That doesn't mean we won't have severe weather, but the main threat for us would probably be damaging winds, and if they can hold together, some large hail. Now, tomorrow's the day that it looks like a pretty bad day. All the ingredients are coming together for severe weather. We're in a level 3 risk. I wouldn't be surprised if they up that to a level 4 for tomorrow.
Even level 3 is pretty elevated, yeah.
Level 3 is pretty elevated, it is. But tomorrow, I think they may upgrade that. And more of a tornadic threat tomorrow.
Oh.
Hate to hear that, but tomorrow will be more of a large hail. We're talking 2 inches or more and a tornado threat. And timing on that would be, looks like mid to late afternoon into the evening hours. Mm. It'd be a little earlier for tomorrow. So if you have outdoor plans, today is fine, at least the majority of the day. And then as we head into the evening hours, that's when we'll start to see things come in from the west. Where tomorrow, if you have outdoor plans, getting done in the morning, because by mid-afternoon, we're going to start seeing severe storms pop up. Wow. And then cooler weather follows that. And unfortunately, with our winds coming out of Canada,
smoke again.
We'll probably see more smoke return as we head into the weekend.
Okay, but more concerning the potential for severe weather both tonight and then mid to late afternoon into tomorrow evening, another band even stronger than what potentially we could see tonight, if I got that right.
Correct, yeah. I'm more worried about a tornadic threat tomorrow,
okay.
This evening storm's more of a hail and wind threat.
Okay.
I mean, they're both bad, but, you know. It's tomorrow looks to be the worst threat.
All right. Dino, go rest your voice. Thank you.
You got it.
And no, I did not get him sick. He's got other issues going on. Don't look at me like that.
I'm not saying you
I'm
did.
I'm just waiting for somebody else to drop around here, and then I get blamed for getting him sick. I've been trying to stay away from everybody. You were sitting next to me last Friday at Shields when I told you that I felt I couldn't tell.
So cold. I just don't.
I couldn't tell. That it was...
Is it me or is it cold in here?
If it was the smoke, because last week was really smoky. We're broadcasting outside. I golfed the day before, so it's like, but then other people in my house had been sick, and everybody in the house got sick.
No,
so
I wasn't.
Therefore, I knew I was sick.
I wasn't worried about that. I mean, we sit next to each other, but I'm not a germaphobe. I'm not worried. Although there's certain, based on medicine these days, you know, any little thing takes longer than it used to.
I know, that's why I don't want to get you sick.
You know, I don't normally get sick, you know, but if I do get sick, I'm going to get real sick.
Yeah.
I mean,
and this is...
just saying, it's a couple months off, Bonnie, so just be prepared if I get sick. I'm just saying.
Timely sick around the holidays. Yeah. I gotcha. No, and this one, I didn't have, like, a sore throat at all. I didn't have a fever. It's just a dumb cold.
No. Dina's had a lot of other issues.
Yeah, he's got issues.
What I'm saying, you know what I mean?
What tips or tricks do you have for keeping your life organized and calm? Dean does not have a calm, organized life. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Go to the phone lines, find our friend Polly in Idaho. Good morning, Polly.
Good morning, C2. How are you?
We're pretty good. How are you?
Oh, okay. You guys sound pretty lively, which is good to hear.
Well, we try to sound lively. It wouldn't be good if we weren't lively early in the morning. We'd put all you guys to sleep.
Sound like Stephen Wright talking to Mitch Hedberg. All right.
This is my most energetic part of the day is early mornings.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Later in the night, late at nighttime, I'm like, I'm ready for bed. Come 6:30. I'm 10 toes up, man. All right. Do you have any tips or tricks for keeping people, keeping your life organized and calm?
I like to keep my boxes in order.
Your like boxers?
No, his boxes.
Boxes.
Oh, I thought you meant your boxer shorts. Your underwear drawer. You have it all neatly organized or something to keep calm.
Keep your mind out of the underwear drawer.
I heard boxers.
Bonnie, you hit a home run on that one.
Thanks, Polly. Boxes? What kind of boxes?
Just moving boxes. I don't have enough room for everything I got inside the house.
Oh, I see.
So I got to keep some outside. But
well, and labeling boxes, too, is key. Like, if you do move or you have something in storage, that's pretty important to kind of write on the outside what you have in there. Otherwise, if you're looking for something, you're tearing everything apart.
Now, which one of you two said, I think it was your daughter, was the one to put the labels on.
Yeah, that's my daughter is super organized with everything. Everything's got to look neat and labeled and organized.
That would make total sense to be able to put the stickers on there instead of writing in black ink. You know, the big felt pens.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're going to have to use the box again for something different, probably.
Yeah.
Then you got to cross all that stuff off and then start all over with a different name on the box.
Yeah, well, she's only got one kid. We'll see how organized she is after two or three more kids. So sometimes you just have to let stuff go if you're that anal about certain things. Sometimes it's just like you get busy with other things. You don't care so much about that kind of organization. Polly, have yourself a great day.
You too, both of you.
Thank you. What tips or tricks do you have for keeping your life organized and calm? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Good Thursday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, 543, partly cloudy, 69 degrees, very sticky out there, dew point at 68. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki was on the air with us a few minutes ago, and he's concerned about a potential for some strong thunderstorms both tonight and tomorrow. Tomorrow, mid to late afternoon into the evening hours, more concerning are the ones that we could see here tomorrow. So the ones today looks like late afternoon, they'll be rolling through central North Dakota, Bismarck, Jamestown areas, and then evening here. He says the potential they could weaken as they move to the east, but there is concern tonight here in the Red River Valley, Fargo-Moorhead area for damaging winds and large hail. It's going to be a hot, humid day, 90 today for our high temp. And then tomorrow, pay close attention. Keep your radio tuned to WDAY. Dino will keep us up to date. Severe storms are possible mid to late afternoon into the evening hours. Right now, we are a level 3 alert for that storm. It's quite high. Sometimes you'll see it at a 1, sometimes a 2, a 3. It's jacked up, and Dean said he thinks maybe the Weather Service will even bump that up to a level 4 alert for possible tornadic activity, large hail. what they're seeing out there on the radar, not looking great for tomorrow night, especially. Well,
and I will say this, make sure you stay tuned to WDAY Radio, because I was just looking at my weather app, and it's got chance of precipitation, but it doesn't have, like, not necessarily an alert, because it's going to put the National Weather Service alerts on there.
Right.
But there's nothing that really says, hey, conditions are prime for some big storms at night, so make sure you keep that in mind. So that's why, to some extent, it feels a little confusing to me, because, you know, Dean's been talking about chances, some severe weather coming in, you know, tonight, tomorrow night, and tomorrow especially.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where if your apps that you normally go by don't really have that on there till the day of, you can't really plan accordingly. So we know there's going to be a lot of people in the area, know a lot of people be out there at WeFest.
Yes.
So a lot of people camp out there. So, I mean, that is a major concern, because, yeah, I mean, if the weather gets bad enough, yeah, they'll probably stop a show or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But there's still people that are camping in campers and tents.
Tens of thousands of people
yeah.
there. How do you get them off the grounds?
Exactly. Especially when you have – now, granted, I haven't been there. I think you said you have. But I would assume it's kind of a place outside of, what is it, Detroit Lakes or whatever?
Yep, Highways 59, Sioux Pass Ranch.
So it's out there, and so it's not like it's a place where there's a bunch of buildings with storm shelters, et cetera. It's, right. it's like an open field, I suppose, in a sense, for open camping and things like
yep,
that.
Yeah, and they have, you know, Becker County Sheriff's Office, mm-hmm. and they've got, you know, help that comes in with
sure.
that event, and they'll be paying close attention to the weather, too. And
yeah.
I just know from how they operate that they'll mm-hmm. be paying attention. If we've got tornado watch underway, they see stuff building on the radar,
yep.
they'll be in communications with probably the National Weather Service.
Uh-huh.
I would imagine if it gets that bad, they will evacuate the grounds, which means campers, tents get left behind, people need
yep.
to be evacuated. But that's going to be hours-long process.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
you know, I think in terms of camping, I would imagine maybe 10,000 for camping. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Some people
stay at cabins. Some people commute
yeah.
in for it, you know.
But the thing is that it's kind of not necessarily the reverse per se based on, like, temperature. But think about how many times we've seen events in the metro area where we've decided ahead of time to be proactive and, like, well, there's a big storm coming in, so we're going to let out school a couple hours early, mm-hmm. get the kids home. Even though it's in the metro, we're not going to have our basketball games and stuff during the evening, because we don't want people out traveling around in bad weather, especially if something really nasty shows up. And this is, you know, think about how fast some of these thunderstorms can just pop up
yep.
and be dangerous. I mean, James and I mentioned a couple times, last year we went to McKendree University down outside of St. Louis by about an hour or so, and we had a lightning delay because there wasn't any storms in the area. It was super hot and humid, but the conditions were right for lightning and possible other severe weather. So it just, some lightning popped up within that circle, and then you had to pause everything. And I would think with concerts, maybe it's not exactly the same thing because it's not student-athletes, but if there's lightning within probably a 10-mile radius, I mean, that could affect whether or not they want people out there performing or not.
And they've been doing this for so long. Becker
yeah.
County Sheriff's Office
mm-hmm.
has this down pat. Like I said, public safety, that's part of the protocol
yeah.
there. I mean, protecting the public, too. So they're going to be on top of that and paying close attention. But it comes upon yourself, too,
yeah.
to make sure you are weather aware. And like I said, if you don't have it on your phone yet, you're going to be traveling, download the WDAY Radio mobile app. Dino is always on the air if there is severe weather that we need to be warned about. And like you said, he'll be watching these systems roll in from the west. And if you're out at WeFest or wherever, maybe you're just out driving around,
mm-hmm.
be prepared for potential severe weather. Again, storms will beginning in western North Dakota. They should be rolling through the Bismarck and Jamestown area late this afternoon. So likely tonight here in Fargo-Moorhead, the Red River Valley. He thinks that they could possibly weaken as they continue to move east, but there is a possibility tonight for damaging winds and large hail, and more concerning tomorrow, and this would be a mid to late afternoon into the evening hours, level 3 alert for possible tornadoes and very large hail. Please pay attention for that. Today we're going to enjoy, I don't know if we enjoy it, but a hot, steamy day. Some of you
it's going to be so nice
for the rest of you.
Do some of you
out there like humidity? Like, is feeling shticky a good thing for some people?
I think,
not to me. Like, I don't like feeling shticky.
I think to some extent, I think some people don't really feel like the humidity is really that bothersome. I mean,
I think it's harder to breathe for a lot of people.
It is. And like where my life has gone and the places I've lived, Midwest, you know, you get all four seasons. And then within the summer, you get, you know, obviously the heavy rains and, you know, rainstorms at times, you get humidity at times, you get sometimes it's kind of a hot, dry heat, but there's always humidity. Then I go to a place like Arizona where there is basically no humidity. And so sometimes that heat doesn't feel quite as bad, obviously.
Right, right.
I mean, it's a dumb saying. It's a dry heat.
But,
well, yeah, but it's still super
hot.
People
who have been there get that, though.
Yeah. And so when I moved from Arizona to Georgia, then the humidity seemed just completely
sultry.
Outrageous. Well, I mean, now instead of being like, you know, it's sticky here when it's in the 70s and 80s, you're talking like 85 to 90 degrees and humid. You're just, it's just miserable. So,
like your shirt's wet. I don't think people love
just,
that.
No, so to some extent, assuming my wife isn't like, you know, at the store working and getting all sweaty that way, I don't think the humidity bothers her as much as me, but she grew up in that type of weather. But it's the same thing for me when I've come home. When I lived in either California or Arizona, I'd come home and the winter didn't really seem that bad. But, you know, you live here and then all of a sudden you've got January, end of December through like end of February. And you're just like, is this weather ever going to end?
Yeah.
That's a different story. So in short doses, I'm sure people that grew up in humidity down in the South, maybe they're like, yeah, it's not a big deal, but no big deal
something.
At home. Mm. Yeah, it might remind them at home. It might not. They might not even think it's really that bad because they're used to it. But for
I
those of
that.
Us here that grew up here, this is hot, sticky weather time. And it's like, I don't really like it.
Mm-hmm. And I know my mom has heart mm-hmm. disease or whatever, heart issues. So when the humidity's up, she has trouble breathing and stuff. And I know she's not alone in that.
Mm-hmm.
People with breathing issues will have a little bit of trouble on hot, humid days like that. Also, if the weather cooperates, Cass County Vector Control is going to be doing aerial mosquito spraying tonight over Fargo, West Fargo, and Moorhead. That's set to begin at 7:30, and potentially, depending on when we see those storms roll through, they might have to postpone that, but we'll see.
Well, and I think overall, now granted, my wife will go outside for 5 minutes or less, and she'll say she's getting bitten by mosquitoes. I haven't had a problem with mosquitoes this year.
My husband's the same. They don't bother me. I always say it's that mean Italian
blood
cursing through me. They leave me alone, but they'll bite him.
You know, I think maybe sometimes it's more out in the yard than it is like on the patio or the deck because you're out, not in that grass. But I don't think the mosquitoes have been that bad this year, and hopefully that can...
They are bad. Because,
hopefully it continues. At least I haven't found them to be like, you know, there's certain years you just know it's super swarmy and there's just, they're always out there. But
that's why we have Cass County Vector Control, because they have trap counts. And when the trap counts get so high, then they recognize that they need to spray for mosquitoes. And also when cases of West Nile pop up, and we've got a bunch of West Nile cases, 5 here locally, people have either been hospitalized or are battling West Nile. So that's pretty high level.
Oh, yeah.
So when you have those disease-carrying mosquitoes out there, obviously they want to do as much work as they can do to knock down the population.
Yeah, I think this year, for me anyway, I think the West Fargo has been pretty decent as far as not having too many mosquitoes. So it hasn't been a bad year.
Yeah. I tried to stay on the steps or the pavement, too, when I'm outside.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Other than golfing, like, I was surprised last week when I golfed. It was warm, a little warm.
Yeah.
I was surprised because I knew the mosquito population was up. I would have figured they would have been worse, but I think, you know, because it's still light out before we finished up before dusk.
Oh,
so
they get more
I
didn't active
notice.
At dusk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Dawn and dusk is when they're most active. 5:53, partly cloudy, humid, 69 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. Dew point very close to the actual temperature, 68. That means it is very sticky. Anything above 60 is sticky. Right now, we're going to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. 5:56, thanks for hanging out with us. We are Bonnie and Friends. You're the Friends. I'm Bonnie. Here's Jay Stedman.
I am?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, okay.
What do people think you are, Stedman?
Jay Stedman, live on the radio. I've got to alter identity so nobody knows. So that's when I say my name out in public. They're just like, who? Oh, what do you do?
Many people think your last name is Stedman. No, it's like Jace, J-A-C-E, Denman.
Stedman. Like Oprah used to date that guy. Or maybe she still does the name Stedman.
Oh, yeah. Heard much about the two of them, but I assume they're still together. They've been together forever.
I love to tell the story of Dorian over there, the billet coordinator for the four. She literally, until she met me and got to know me, she literally thought my name was Jay Stedman, which would be weird because we had Jay Stedman and Jay Thomas on the show. That's two J's. I mean, we try to differentiate ourselves, you know, because a lot of people get, you know, Jay and I confused.
When you say it so fast, so Jay Stedman, I suppose Jay Stedman, Jay Stedman, Jay Stedman.
Jace.
When I first started here doing the news, one of the TV reporters thought my last name was, because of breaking news, and I'd go to the scene, right, and report. He thought my last name was On the Spotty, and he thought that was a super cool
Bonnie
reason.
On the Spotty. I thought your last name was Moustadi.
Moustadi, yeah.
I could swear.
I guess because I say it so fast.
I guess. I just never heard the ah in there. So I literally thought Bonnie for years, because I would literally listen to Bonnie do the news when I'm driving to work long before we met each other. And so I thought it was Bonnie Moustadi. Because I don't know where it just seemed like the A just dropped somewhere.
I always get a kick when people are like, do you make that name up? It's like, who would think to make up a name like that?
Who would ask that?
I've had lots of people over the years ask me that.
I'm a study. Where'd you come up with that? Is this a Google word generator? That's not even a real word. Come on now.
I got it from my father. You
made that up.
But then I think now, remember when that movie came out, Amistad? It's basically spelled the same way, except there's not a, well, there's an I on my last name or whatever. But I think then people like finally heard that name being used. They got it.
I find it funny, which I think people just don't hear it, you know, at times. Because if people ever ask how to spell my last name, I'm like, it's 2 3-letter words. It's not like it's rocket science.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, obviously with James, if you want to mess with James, call him James McCarthy instead of McCarty, and then that'll get his head to turn around real quick. But no, mine's 2 3-letter words, Den and Man. You know, our family always kind of says Denman, you know, probably because there's more than one of us, but, you know. It's just like, it's not a hard name to spell. So that's why when someone goes, can you spell your last name? And you're just like, obviously they didn't hear me
and
correctly.
And I always spell mine. And then a lot of times people will be like, oh, that was easy. It's like, yep. But unless you know, I guess you don't know.
No.
Right?
Well, exactly. I mean, and thankfully I don't have to ever spell your last name. So
it's easy to spell. It's just like it sounds. Figure it out, people.
Okay, Moustadi.
Whatever works for you, I guess. All right, be paying close attention for the weather again. We've got storms in the forecast both tonight. Could be some big hail with that, and more concerning potential for tornado activity tomorrow late afternoon into the evening hours. 701-293-9000. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
This is Ben.
Hey, Ben. How are you this morning?
Good. Just heading to work.
Good. Good for you.
But I was just listening to your guys' conversation about a last name.
Mm-hmm.
My last name is Walker, like Walker, like this town. And people still mess that up all the time.
What do they want to do, throw an H in there or something? Or
I don't know what they want to do. It's just they throw a C. They'll call me Ben Wacker because there's Ben Wacker down the area. But, you know, but Walker is like the easiest name to say.
Yeah.
It's like the town.
Yeah.
And they're like, so many people are like, can I spell that? I was like, well, it's like you're walking. But
you know, like when you're either old or maybe when you're a baby and you need a walker?
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Well, trust
me. Trust
me, Ben. When I was in high school, the most interesting thing is when the local public address announcer in small towns across South Dakota either pronounces my last name as either Denim or Demon. And that was, you'd always kind of look over at the person like, I don't know what you read because it's literally listed in the game program. And like I said, it's 2 3-letter words.
Yep.
And you pronounce Denim or Demon. So, you know, sometimes people just don't pay attention. That's the whole thing.
Well, I just think it's funny, probably because there's one, you know, Ben Wacker was a couple grades ahead of me or whatever.
There you go.
That's kind of why, but,
maybe,
you know.
Yeah, being from a smaller town.
No, it's just funnier. You make a phone call and try to, like, pay a bill or do whatever. They'll be like, can we spell your last name? I'm like, are you serious?
Have a last name that you just automatically start spelling each and every time because people will be like, what?
We can't be as cool as you are.
That's true.
Well, thank you, Ben.
Well, and then last year, James and I were doing a basketball game, and I'm drawing a blank on the young man's last name, but literally I thought James had a typo on the roster because both young men in the same grade, about the same height, had the same first name, and there was one letter difference on their last name. And
yeah,
so I thought that maybe James wrote down the name wrong, that they were like siblings or something like that. And so the names were one letter different, and they were actually two different kids in the same class at the same school. And you're like, oh, okay, oh, so there are two of them. So that's confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no doubt.
How's the traffic over there with WeFest? Any issues, I suppose, Tuesday or Wednesday when they were moving in?
Some were moving in yesterday. We had to work over there by Cormorant Lakes area, so we were all the way around that area. Wasn't too bad. By the time we got back towards DL, see, today we're going towards Vergas, Frazee, Perm area.
Okay.
So we're heading out of here.
Yeah.
No.
Well, there you go. And you know how it is. It's every year around this time, it's just like there's just peak travel times for WeFest. But once we get them situated, hopefully it's calmed down for a few days.
Right. You go, if you want to do anything in this town, go out about 5 o'clock at night, then you'll be all right.
There you go.
Because everybody's back at WeFest by that time.
There you go.
Hey, thanks, Ben. You have a great day.
Oh, I know I will. You guys as well.
I love hearing that. 603, we are WDAY Fargo. 605, our forecast from Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Partly cloudy, hot and humid today. Scattered evening thunderstorms. Pay attention. Some of those could be severe with damaging winds. Large hail possible. Those storms will start out in the western part of North Dakota. Should roll through Bismarck and Jamestown late this afternoon. And again, into the metro area by tonight. Dino thinking that potentially they could weaken as they move east. However, be prepared, the potential for damaging winds and large hail tonight. Now tomorrow, more severe weather, worse than what we could see tonight. Partly cloudy, warm and humid, severe storms possible mid to late afternoon into the evening hours. We're at a level 3 alert. Dino was saying potentially that could be bumped up to a level 4 alert. Possibility of tornadoes, that would be the most concerning thing right now that he's seeing out there. Large hail as well. Another hot, sticky one tomorrow, 90 for the high. South, southeast winds, 5 to 15. And then things will calm down for the weekend, about 10 degrees cooler. Look for mostly sunny skies on Saturday, 83 for the high. Sunday, partly to mostly cloudy with a high of 81. Right now, it is partly cloudy. We have 68 degrees here at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the south at 6 miles an hour. That dew point right around 67. 6:07, we're going to get your national news in now from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY radio sports. 6:10, Big Game James McCarty has arrived with your WDAY radio sports. Good morning to you, James.
Good morning. The Minnesota Twins, believe it or not, after a fire sale, made the decision that apparently they're going to beat the best team in the division, the Tigers, a couple of times. Taking the series rubber match 9-4 yesterday afternoon. Pearson Ohl, he struggled. He gave up 4 runs over 2 2/3 innings and a no decision. He actually pitched pretty well the first couple innings. It was just that third inning that got him. Thomas Hatch came in, threw 4 1/3 innings in relief, earning the win. Kind of funny, of the four pitchers that pitched for the Twins yesterday, two of them still don't have their Twins headshots.
I didn't recognize a lot of the names in the sports rundown you gave
us. Yeah, a couple of them don't have Twins headshots. One of them still is wearing a St. Paul Saints hat. So, that's where we're at in the lineup.
Okay.
You look at the guys that drove in runs as well. Luke Kuechel, he, in his second game back, drove in 3 runs again. Alan Roden, Brooks Lee, Austin Martin, all solo home runs in the victory. Ryan Jeffers and Mickey Gasper also adding an RBI apiece. Of that grouping, you have two guys with AAA hats on still, and one guy that still has a former team's hat on in his team photo when you look at him on the ESPN specifically. Of course, the team, they're working on getting those taken care of. But just kind of comical there. Twins are off today before returning to Target Field for a weekend series against a division rival in the Kansas City Royals. That'll be a Friday night, 7:10 first pitch. Joe Ryan will be on the mound for that one. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks battled the Lincoln Salt Dogs in a traditional 7-inning doubleheader last night that began at 6 p.m. The Redhawks walking off Game 1, 8-7 on a Nick Northcutt walk-off RBI double. Then you would have in Game number 2, the Redhawks would edge out the Salt Dogs in that one, 3-2 to sweep the doubleheader. Kobe Kaiser only gave up 1 run with 6 strikeouts over 5 innings in that one. Michael Hallquist hit a solo home run in the bottom of the 6th inning that ended up being the difference in that game. Redhawks look to try and sweep the Salt Dogs tonight at 7:02, beginning at 7:02, I suppose, barring weather. Really, that's the big thing.
Right.
if they'll be able to get that fired off or not. PGA Tour is heading to Memphis, Tennessee for the St. Jude Championship. Golfers begin teeing off in about an hour from now. Tom Hoagie will tee off his opening round at 8 a.m. He'll be in a grouping with Matt Fitzpatrick and just trying to make the cut this weekend, get back into the swing of things. Been a tough about 6 or so weeks for Tom. He took a couple weeks off after some of that time around the European weeks and whatnot, but yeah, hopefully able to get back into some successful golfing, because he had a really good start to the year. It's just a matter of trying to get back to what he was at 3 or 4 months ago. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I, we will get you updated, and we're going to start looking into the Vikings' first preseason game as well. That's Saturday at 3 o'clock, yeah, against the Texans. Kind of crazy to think about. And so those Vikings hits we have that are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. There's a couple of cuts that you'll be hearing over the next day or two talking about the team culture, J.J. McCarthy getting his first opportunity in preseason this year, and things of those sorts. So some really interesting dynamics that are going on at camp for the Vikings as we approach our first preseason game.
Are there any preseason games tonight on TV as far as, you know, Thursday Night Football? I mean, they like to get a few extra games. I wouldn't think so. I mean, I know that
I've got the league schedule. I just got to pull it up.
I know most teams are playing on Saturday. I know my guys are playing on Saturday as well.
Actually, no, you're right. We have 3 games tonight.
Oh.
You've got Baltimore hosts Indianapolis at 6 on NFL Network.
Ah.
Seattle hosts Las Vegas at 9 on NFL Network.
Ooh,
and my computer just crashed.
Hey,
There's a 6:30 game. I just can't tell you who it is.
There's also a Friday night game coming up. There was a little bit of a scuffle at one of the joint training camps. Did you hear about that?
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that.
The Patriots coach got a little bloodied.
Yeah, I saw Vrabel. He had a little blood on his cheek after an altercation.
That doesn't surprise me.
He de-escalated the situation. He put the kids back in their place, and nobody got ejected. So
Bengals and Eagles play tonight, but that one is not on national TV.
Philly's okay. Yeah, I got it pulled up now. Now it's back.
Hey, now we're back.
It's in Philly.
Yes.
That's all I got.
And maybe the Pats are playing Friday night. It says the teams.
Patriots and Commanders play tomorrow at 6:30.
They play each other. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And then
that's usually what happens when you have those joint practices. You'll have 2 days of joint practice against the other team.
Oh, okay.
And then that's usually followed up by a preseason game against each other.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Alrighty.
Because, you know, even.
So are these joint practices kind of like scrimmages then, sort of?
No, I mean, you're running some drills, you're running some other things against a different team, because a lot of times, you know, James and I have been through this in high school, and obviously the college guys do the same thing. You're practicing for weeks against guys that your teammates, you know, guys that you're supposed to go to battle with. So sometimes you want to see somebody else on the other side of the ball that you get to go hit. That's not someone you have to like go hit, but yet not hurt. So now, you know, when you get to play against someone else from a different team, now you can really rally around each other and kind of, you know, look to get better against someone else that's not your own team. Like, you know, the Vikings starting defense wants to get better every single day, but at the same time, do you necessarily want it against your number ones on offense? You want your offense to get better as well. So at least you get a chance to practice against somebody else.
Sure. Okay. Did you guys see the soccer protest over in Lithuania?
No, I did not.
What did they do this time?
They realized it wasn't American football, so they were disappointed.
They're throwing what? Apparently they don't like the coach, Vladimir Chibarin.
No, they weren't throwing the same things they throw at WNBA games, are they?
No, those are sex toys. No, these are still.
What?
Yes.
I did not know that. I thought they were just something
that's
else.
That's got to stop, too. That's getting really annoying. There's been 3 cases of that. No, they threw
cases of them? I thought they threw just one.
Three incidents of them.
Oh, okay.
Suitcases. They threw suitcases. And I'm like, who's throwing suitcases?
Hey, wait.
Are they nice suitcases?
Those could be worth some money.
Yeah, exactly. You collect those and sell those on eBay.
At first I thought, you mean they're throwing their luggage, but then you look at it and it's more like, no, just probably, they probably went to thrift stores and, you know, and got them or whatever. Maybe
cheap fan base.
They're telling them to take a trip, I guess, is what they're saying, huh?
Yeah. It looks like, the coach that they don't like is like, as they throw their suitcases, he's applauding them on the sideline like, heck with you.
Well, that's the funny thing about, you know, like the celebrations and the things.
How did they get suitcases into the facility?
You would think they
would. Security a little bit more relaxed?
I guess.
The seats are not exactly packed, and it looks like, from what I can see in the picture, maybe a dozen and a half suitcases, maybe 2 dozen suitcases in the view I can see were tossed on.
It sounds like a half-hearted attempt.
Yeah. It's funny, though, that coach clapping, because, I mean, you always see it in
European soccer where, like, the player comes off after playing most of the game, the substitute comes in. He looks at the crowd and just sits there and claps. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, American players in the U.S. leagues, and they never do that. They never look at the crowd and clap, go, thank you for coming out and supporting us.
Here's the message they're sending.
What is that?
Pack up and leave.
Yeah, pack it up.
Pick whichever suitcase we threw on the field, grab it for yourself, pack your stuff, and get the heck out of here. That's kind of funny. You don't often see that.
No, but it is a little weird, though, they're able to bring those in. It's like, look, this is just a suitcase. It's empty.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it on the field if you really want to know what I'm doing with it.
Well, and to some extent, that seems mild compared to what some of the fans in the old North Central Conference used to do. They used to throw, like, bunnies and coyotes and stuff on the court.
Varmints of sorts.
Yeah, and you're just like, how did they get those into the game anyway?
Gophers, badgers.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a badger in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? Just happy to see you and be here for the game, bro. All right, go on in.
Well, that was some fun stuff,
the octopus
though.
That used to get tossed on in Detroit.
Who goes into a hockey game with an octopus in their pants?
There's usually people trying
to smuggle those onto planes. Don't get me wrong, but
I suppose. Yeah, the plane smuggling thing that never ceases to amaze me. What people think they can get away with, like shoving in their boots,
and their
backpacks.
Do you have a dozen turtles in your underwear?
Yeah.
No, why would you ask?
No, they're in my carry-on.
Turtles, snakes, beetles. We've had it all.
Yeah.
I also saw, speaking of a sports-related story, Mandan High School girls basketball coach resigned. Did you guys see that story?
Uh-uh.
K-Fire TV has it. Inappropriate behavior at a water park, but it sounds like the inappropriate behavior perhaps might have been going on with his wife under a towel at the water park.
You know, honey, we're in public at a water park. You know what that does to me?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's not appropriate. Take it up to your room
What I mean? Wink.
That's inappropriate, that Bonnie. You're out in public view and there's children around and stuff. So I guess.
You know, everybody's got their own thing that really turns them on, Bonnie.
Resignation letter. Mm-hmm. I know, but that's inappropriate. Mandan High School girls basketball coach Shannon Copas resigning Wednesday night after being accused of inappropriate behavior at Raging Rivers Water Park in Mandan. His wife posted the resignation letter on the team's app.
Interesting.
Mm. So she made him resign?
No, she said, "Let me begin by saying clearly without hesitation, the allegations made against me and my wife are completely false." He wrote that, apparently.
Well, if they're false, then why are you resigning?
Yeah, why are you resigning then?
Yeah, and there was a couple of eyewitnesses, including like a lifeguard or person that works there, but it's just like, come on. Children are present, but not only children, you're in public view.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that was that. Like I say, K-Fire TV had the
Story.
Mm-hmm. Story on that.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where sometimes when there's an allegation, if it's really not true, then why would you resign? Mm-hmm. I mean, we had was it last year, James, where our coach of Fargo North, they had allegations against him he didn't turn around and resign or anything like that because he knew they were false.
They went through it, and Coach Hogan ended up coaching that consolation game. Yep.
That was such garbage. But then he ended up later at some point stepping
away. Yeah. Yeah. What is he going to? NDSCS, I believe.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I guess
I believe
right.
So.
Oh,
yeah, down in WAP, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So, he's been tremendous still the handful of years I've known him.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
Well, that's
exactly.
Everything we heard about him when that news first came out. Mm-hmm. He's a stand-up individual. There were so many people like, no, this couldn't have happened.
And the kids that he was coaching at North, I mean, he took over as head coach, but he'd coached.
They rallied around him, yeah.
He coached those young men since they were like in, maybe middle school. He's been coaching them and obviously won a state title, which is a great accomplishment. And, I just would have refused to believe any of those type of allegations against him.
And that was like an AI photo or something, if I remember.
As far as
like
I know, I never saw any type of photo like that. But I read the news story about it, and it seemed nothing like the guy that we had met. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you don't know what people are like, outside of work, etc. But the person that James and I had talked to multiple times during their runs to two straight state championship games, totally a stand-up guy and just a well-spoken and just the kind of guy you're like, I wish this type of guy was, coaching my kids. So, sometimes, if it's not true, if it's completely false, then I don't know why you would submit your resignation. So,
Did you know on some parts of the Autobahn there is an actual speed limit? I didn't know that. I thought it was just whatever.
The Autobahn, but we don't recognize those signs. We just zoom by.
Well, if you zoom by too fast, you might get busted. We'll talk more about it coming up next. 6:25, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio on a Thursday morning. It is a sticky one. It's going to be a hot day today. 90 for our high temp. Could see some severe storms tonight with strong winds, large damaging hail, and a bigger concern about the weather tomorrow, mid to late afternoon into the evening hours. We could possibly see tornadic activity and large hail. Keep it tuned right here to WDAY. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will have all the details on our forecast coming up. And if we do have severe weather outbreak, he automatically hops on the air here. Okay, so I hear about the Autobahn in Germany.
I know we're going to talk about this, but you play that song and you say nothing about me?
Are you my best friend? Do you want to be my best friend?
I thought I was. I thought that just was by
default.
You're
my BFF. You and Jimmy are my BFFs.
I mean, that's why I'm here, right?
Yeah. No, it's a cool tune, and it's Harry Nilsson, and I was watching a documentary on him a couple months ago. It's like, oh, I like that song. I'm going to put it on our bump page. So it's there. We're all BFFs.
I just thought it was all about me, but whatever.
I was sending you messages. If I would have been quicker and I wasn't distracted by Jimmy showing me family photos.
Yeah.
For his mother's beautiful. He looks like
you would have.
Your mom and I would be BFF. She's cool.
If you would have been paying attention and played Sammy Hagar's I Can't Drive 55.
But I wasn't, because these boys are always talking to me and distracting me behind the scenes.
Rude. I can't even concentrate.
You got best friend. Okay.
Yeah. So where Autobahn has a speed limit now?
I guess. And maybe they always have. I just thought it was like unlimited. You could go as fast as
I mean,
as
I thought it was. I mean, I guess I thought that, but at the same time, I thought maybe it was something. Because, I mean, they're going to be in kilometers per hour, so I don't know. So 55 is 88 kilometers per hour. So I guess I was thinking it was something ridiculous, like 150, 200, something that where most people that you're not really going to go that fast anyway.
I don't know what kind of vehicle this person was driving.
Yeah.
But they were caught going 320 kilometers per hour, which is breaks. They broke it up for us. Yeah, so you don't have to do math. Which is 199 miles per hour on the Autobahn west of Berlin, Germany. That was 124 miles above the posted speed limit.
124 miles an hour.
So maybe it goes through like a pedestrian area where they slow it way down, you know, in certain spots or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I would. I guess
they
I would.
Said. The speed limit through that area is 120 kph.
75?
Yeah, just at 74.5.
Well, I mean, based on the math, I mean, sure. Yeah. I mean, they're going to round it to a unrounded number like 125 for kilometers per hour. So, I mean,
75 miles an hour is still really, really, really
well,
fast.
75. I mean, we just switched to 80 up here to match South Dakota. So 75, yeah, that's a good clip. But
I mean, I was thinking like maybe they slow it down for pedestrians or something. And if you're going 75 miles an hour through a pedestrian area.
Well, yeah. Could you imagine driving, you know, 75 through the interstate through the metro area? Well, I can because I've seen people do it.
Right.
Because then you're like scratching your head going, okay, where's the cops now when you need them?
People drive too fast through the metro area. They really do. And it's just like.
It's always fun. Like, because I mean, I've said I'm one of those people that, you know, goes 5 miles an hour over. But, you know, you're trying to pass someone who's only going 55 and I'm going 60, which technically I'm not
you're
supposed
going
to do.
Slow at 60 during the daytime. Yeah. Not like the overnight hours. I lock mine in at 58, 59. Yeah. But during, say, between 10:30 and 4 or 5 o'clock, if you're going 60, 61 miles an hour, you are getting blown past by driver after driver.
The only thing that I don't like, and if you're going to go faster than that, I guess that's your deal, but, I mean, why do you have to be within a car length behind me when say, for example, we're both going 65 or something?
Yeah.
You don't need to be that close to me.
And they're still speeding, like.
Yeah,
I'm telling on you guys. Through the construction zone, it says, why? There's construction workers, especially on the I-94 bridge. They're really, really close to the traffic lanes. Yep. You know, they're just trying to get their job done. Yeah. And you've got people buzzing through there. I set my cruise control when I'm going through there. It's 40 miles an hour.
Well,
it's a short stretch. It's like maybe three blocks
long.
Well,
I've got one of those cruise controls in, I think, I don't remember if my wife's vehicle has it or not, but I've got one where it's got adaptive cruise. So if everybody in front of me slows down, my vehicle automatically slows down.
Yeah.
So then you don't even have to reset it. You don't have to hit the brake or whatever. It'll slow down automatically.
And it funnels into two lanes or whatever. I had a white pickup that came flying in from the outside lane. Must have been 2-3 days ago or whatever, just trying to get ahead of everybody. And he was going so fast.
Well, there's always people who say, well, this lane's closing. You got to merge left or whatever. And there's always people that try to get around six vehicles by speeding up on the outside lane and then merging, which then basically causes everybody to slow down traffic-wise. So that's
always
nice.
Lots of bad behavior out there, so be better at it. But this guy that was busted going 199 miles an hour faster than the limit on the Autobahn, he was fined $1,000, over $1,000, and he got 2 points on his driver's license, and he can't even drive for 3 months.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, I do wonder what kind of vehicle it was. I mean, what's the
probably
brand?
Probably a Lamborghini. Well, I don't know. What goes 100 miles an hour, 199 miles an hour?
Well, there's, you know, a number of vehicles. I'm just wondering if it's like
a lot
like
of them are, what, capped out at, what is it, 100? I want to
say 90, like
120?
Some go, well, some only go 120, 125, like on your speedometer, but there's other vehicles, you know, the Lamborghinis, Ferraris, Corvettes, stuff like that. You can go, I mean, I think you can at least go 150 or more on those, but, you know, if you really push it, maybe the speedometer only goes up to 150, but you're cruising at 200 miles an hour. But I mean, at that speed,
that's nuts.
That's a number one. That is a bit dangerous. I mean, that you're getting 200 miles an hour, you're up, you know, you're getting close to that stock car speed, you know.
You should buy a race car and maybe take it to the track.
Maybe you should be a racer and there maybe not go. maybe it was like an F1 guy that's just like, I got to get to my next appointment, and he's like, everybody's driving so slow, and he normally drives like 300 miles an hour, so he's like 200. I'm driving slow.
And if
slow.
He has a fancy, expensive car, then maybe a $1,000 fine isn't a big deal, but lose your license for 3 months, that's a big deal.
I bet she's going to drive anyway.
Probably. 6:31. 6:33, checking out your forecast from Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Partly cloudy today, hot and humid. Scattered evening thunderstorms. Some of those could be severe. He says they'll start out in the western part of the state, roll through Bismarck and Jamestown late this afternoon, and into the FM metro area tonight sometime, and they might perhaps weaken slightly as they push to the east. However, it's looking like the potential for damaging winds and large hail contained in those storms as they trek across the state. Looks like 90 for our high temp today. Winds out of the south-southeast, 5 to 15, 68 our overnight low. Tomorrow, please, please, please pay attention to the forecast. Keep it tuned to WDAY Radio. Even more severe weather in our forecast for tomorrow. It's going to be another partly cloudy, warm, humid day today. Severe storms possible mid to late afternoon into the evening hours. We're at a level 3 alert. Dino thinking that could get bumped up to a level 4 alert. He's very concerned about the potential for tornadoes tomorrow. Also, large hail contained in those storms. Tomorrow's high right around 90, south-southeast winds 5 to 15, low of 68. If you're heading out to WeFest or you're at WeFest, make sure you have a plan just in case with the potential for that severe weather. And then things will calm down for the weekend. Looks like mostly sunny, 83 our high on Saturday, partly to mostly sunny on Sunday with a high of 81. Dew point right around the temperature right now. It is extremely sticky out there. We have sunshine, 68 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the south-southeast, 6 miles an hour. Coming up 6:56 this morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this artist who played to the largest crowd ever in Central Park. Find out who it is, Flatland Music Flashback, right around 6:56. 6:36, your national news from ABC coming up. We'll check in with the American Ag Network and Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:41, Don Kinsler, NDSU Cass County Extension horticulturist, will join us for Lawn and Garden Radio coming up at 7:10 this morning. You can call in then with your questions, or if you have any lawn, garden, tree questions, you can email them in now, studio@wdayradionow.com. Big Game James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Minnesota Twins taking their series rubber match against division rival Detroit on the road, 9-4 yesterday afternoon. Thomas Hatch got the win, 4 1/3 shutout innings in relief as he got his first victory in a Twins uniform. Luke Kuechel, second game back from injury, he once again drove in 3 runs. This time he just stayed in the ballpark for all 3 of them. Alan Roden, Brooks Lee, Austin Martin all hitting solo home runs. Twins are off today. They return home to Target Field for a weekend series against another division rival in the Royals. as KC comes to town. 7:10 Friday night will be first pitch with Joe Ryan on the mound for Minnesota. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks had an opportunity for a traditional 7-inning doubleheader against the Lincoln Salt Dogs last night after Game 1 was originally rained out and postponed, and they were able to walk them off 8-7 in Game 1 on a Nick Northcutt RBI double. Then in Game 2, they edged them out 3-2 after Michael Hallquist hit the go-ahead and eventual game-winning RBI with a solo home run in the bottom of the 6th inning. Redhawks trying to sweep the Salt Dogs out of Newman Outdoor Field tonight, beginning at 7:02. PGA Tour, the St. Jude Championship in Memphis, Tennessee. Golfers begin teeing off at 7:20. Tom Hoagie tees off at about 8 a.m., and he's grouped up with Matt Fitzpatrick here this weekend. We look to tonight, primetime sports, 6:30. Jason and I, we will dive into Minnesota Vikings' first preseason game that takes place Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock against the Houston Texans. Some of the storylines, the excitement, and, of course, where we're at as football season's officially here. We're actually 3 weeks away tonight, today from our not only our Dragon football season opener over on our sister station, The Flag, but also Spud football, their season opener here on WDAY Radio. It'll be their first game in the highest class in the state of Minnesota, the 6A division as well. So a lot of excitement 3 weeks from tonight as we enter football season.
I would imagine practice is already underway for the Dragons.
Yeah. They had full practice, full go, began on Monday of this past week. And then for the Bison, they also began this past week as well. Cobbers are getting rolling. Trying to think of the high schools in the next week or so. Mm-hmm. They start rolling. It really depends on if you're a week zero or a week one school, but it should be next week, if not 2 weeks from now, at the latest.
It's go time.
It is.
Busy time for families, too.
It really is, yep. And it's a fun time of the year. It's nice because it's cooler in the mornings. Midday makes you, you know, a little bit, people like me, a little bit uneasy because it's hot and humid and things of those sorts. But you know what? We're enjoying it as we approach Labor Day.
I wonder if after we get through these couple of days here with extremely humid, hot, humid temperatures in the 90s, then we're going to drop down into the 80s. I wonder if maybe we're done with the 90s. Maybe not. Jace looks at me like, maybe not.
I don't think we are, but it's...
I hope so.
There's been a lot of 90s this summer.
There have been. I mean, it's always that first, like, week or so of September that it seems like we have our last, maybe it's even the middle of September. I don't know usually when it is, but usually there's a time in September there's one last push of really hot weather, because it always seemed like when we were kids going to school that first week or so, it was just, it would be nice for the first, you know, few days or week of school, then all of a sudden boom, we just had this really hot weather and you're stuck inside going to class, and then you come outside for recess, and it's all super hot out, and everybody's there wearing their jeans and their new shirts that they got, and you know, for the new school year. So there's always a push in September.
Most schools air condition now, but I mean, even as recent as say like a dozen years ago, I know there were some older elementary schools in Fargo which weren't air conditioned at that time, and then we got hot, humid weather, and they had to actually cancel classes for the day.
Well, there's either that or they had air conditioning, but the air conditioning went out due to either the usage, you know, trying to keep up with super hot weather, or whatever, and it went out. So then, you had to cancel classes because it's too hot inside. I mean, if it's 90 degrees outside and then there's no air conditioning on the inside with the sun beating down on a place like that, it's just gonna bake.
Yeah, my daughter said, "Mom, aren't you glad we finally have air again in the 90s? I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, we survived the 90s, but it wasn't humid like it was when we didn't have air for that weekend in the 90s. It wasn't humid like it is now." So I can't imagine. Yeah, very, very hot, humid temps both today and tomorrow, with the potential for storms kicking off. So make sure you pay attention to the weather. Looks like evening storms, some thunderstorms here tonight. Some could be severe. Those will start in the western part of the state, roll through Bismarck and Jamestown late afternoon to evening. And then as they move east here, damaging winds, large hail possible. And then, Dino, really keep an eye on tomorrow night. That very concerning potential for tornadoes. Very large hail, and those would hit, if we see those hold together tomorrow, mid to late afternoon into the evening hours right here in the Fargo-Moorhead area.
Yeah. Just want to mention sports brought to you by Pebble Lake Golf Course, which has been voted one of the top 25 public courses in the state of Minnesota. Find out why. Get tee times online at playpebblelake.com.
Good job. Way to have my back on.
You're welcome.
There's a new speeding fines that went up, a new law took a effect probably, I would say, August 1st in North Dakota. That seems to be when they kick in. But if you get caught speeding through a construction zone now in North Dakota, it used to be minimum fine of $80. It's now been bumped up to $150. And it's still a lot more in South Dakota and Minnesota.
Yeah. North Dakota fines for speeding have usually been fairly lenient. I mean, it seemed like if you go 10 miles an hour over, it's only been $10 for a long, long time.
Don't understand the mindset of even thinking of speeding through a construction zone. And
well,
workers are doing their job.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if there are no construction workers, but I mean, a lot of times this time of year, there are a lot of construction workers out there trying to get the work done. And
sometimes they're really near the traffic lanes. It's like, you got to pay attention and follow those posted speed limits. I mean, over the decades, there's been construction workers who have been killed on the job, including here in Minnesota and North Dakota.
There's even been law enforcement officers that get hit occasionally when someone's not paying attention and they're trying to conduct a simple traffic stop. And, you know, either the person who is texting while driving or doing something else, they run in the back of their squad car and hit that, or they sideswipe the vehicle that's pulled over for the speeding infraction or whatever infraction they've gotten pulled over, and you know, almost hits the police officer as well. So you know, be aware when you're driving.
Glad that's an effect. You see a vehicle on the side of the road, move over a lane and slow down if you can't move over, but I'm glad that's an effect there. 6:48 coming up, Flatland Music Flashback. 6:56. This was sold at auction for over $300,000. It was once worn by a superstar, and you will find out what it is and who wore it coming up in Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
In 1976, this duo were at number one with their song. It was this artist's 6th U.S. number one song. We'll find out who that was and what song it was coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
Time now for Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
In 1965, Herman's went to number one with I'm Henry the Eighth I Am. The single was only released in the U.S.
The band was hugely successful in the 1960s with a number of hits. They also appeared in several MGM movies.
They were like the Monkees then, I guess,
kinda,
in a sense.
Yeah.
This female singer, was she just a solo artist as well?
Yes.
Because I don't quite remember. I totally remember the song, but I don't remember the singer. 1976, Elton John and Kiki Dee were at number one with Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
It was Sir Elton's 6th U.S. number one. He's had 9 number one hits and 58 top 40 singles.
On this date, 1991, charges of assault and property damage were filed against Axl Rose in connection with a riot at a Guns N' Roses concert in the St. Louis area.
Go figure. Band's been around since 85. They had a number of hit songs. Sweet Child of Mine. They're only number one, though.
I believe that myself and my buddies watched this a number of times because this was 1997. I think I just moved down to Arizona. Well, actually, it would be in about a month or so. We actually moved to Arizona. I was in Lawrence, Kansas at the time. But Garth Brooks, he played the largest crowd ever in Central Park, New York. An estimated 1 million people attended the free concert with an additional 14.6 million viewing it live on HBO. I don't remember if we watched it live or we watched the reruns of it.
Yeah, it was great. The concert recorded later released as the album Garth Live from Central Park. It remains the largest concert ever played in Central Park.
I had that. It might have been a double DVD set or double CD set. 2008, Elvis Presley's famous peacock jumpsuit was sold at auction for $300,000. Making it the most expensive piece of Elvis memorabilia ever sold at auction.
The white outfit with a plunging V-neck and high collar features a blue and gold peacock design, hand embroidered, of course, on the front and back and along the pants legs as well.
Very 1970s.
Very Elvis-y.
If Bruce Dickinson says we need more cowbell, then we need more cowbell. Do you remember that, Saturday Night Live?
Yes,
all right, at least you remember that one. Having a birthday today, the one and only Bruce Dickinson, lead vocalist of heavy metal band Iron Maiden, is 67. Hallowed Be Thy Name is considered one of the greatest heavy metal songs of all time and is also one of the band's signature songs.
All right. If you're having a birthday today, happy Happy birthday to you, too. It's 7 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. Checking out your forecast, we do have storms in the forecast today and tomorrow, so make sure you are weather aware. Pay attention. Partly cloudy, hot and humid. Scattered evening thunderstorms. Some of those could be severe. The biggest concerns will be damaging winds and large hail. Dino says the storms will be starting out in western North Dakota, passing through Bismarck, Jamestown areas late afternoon and then evening here in the Fargo-Moorhead Metro. He's thinking potentially they might weaken as they move to the east, weaken slightly. However, we do have the possibility of damaging winds, large hail possible. 90 for our high, winds southeast 5 to 15, 68 our overnight low. Now, as bad as today potentially could be, things might even be worse tomorrow. There's the chance for tornadoes tomorrow. Partly cloudy, warm and humid, severe storms possible mid to late afternoon into the evening hours here in the FM Metro. We're at a level 3 alert. Dino says that could be possibly bumped up to a level 4 alert for the possible tornadoes, large hail. 90 degrees for our high temp, winds south-southeast 5 to 15, 68 our overnight low, and then the weather will calm down, be much cooler, humidity will drop for the weekend, mostly sunny Saturday, 83 for our high temp, winds out of the west-southwest 10 to 20, overnight low right around 60, and then for Sunday, partly to mostly sunny with a high of 81, south-southwest winds 10 to 20, overnight low of 56. Right now we have... Well, there's some haze out there. It's foggy in parts, but it's mostly sunny here in Fargo-Moorhead. No, it's just from the humidity.
That's just the windows.
Oh. It looks hazy, though, a little bit.
I mean, it might be a little bit hazy. And as far as fog goes, I don't think it's foggy at all.
It's from the humidity.
Yeah. I thought it was super foggy, and that's why I went to our little observation deck there, because the windows were so fogged up that I couldn't tell tell if it was foggy outside or if it was just the windows, but it was just the windows, thankfully.
But if you look up at the sun, you can see there's haze out there. Yeah, 68 degrees, dew point 67, so extremely humid out there right now.
Yep, and our weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation, and we're just right about at 7:05, so we're going to have a quick check on your national weather. We come back, a sports update from Big Game James McCarty, and then Don Kinsler, NDSU and Cass County Extension Horticulturist, will be joining us to talk all things lawn and garden.
Mr. Kinsler joining us shortly. If you have any lawn, garden, or tree questions, you can get in line now, 701-293-9000, or email your questions into studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Big Game James McCarty first off, though, with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Last night, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks sweeping a doubleheader against the Lincoln Salt Dogs, taking game one in walk-off fashion, 8-7 on a Nick Northcutt walk-off RBI double. Then in game two, they would edge him out 3-2. After a bottom of the sixth inning solo home run for the go-ahead and eventual game-winning run from Michael Hallquist, the local product. Redhawks trying to sweep the Salt Dogs out of Newman Outdoor Field this evening, beginning at 7:02 up in North Fargo. Minnesota Twins taking down the Tigers in Detroit 9-4 on Wednesday afternoon in their series rubber match. Pearson Old did give up four runs over 2 2/3 innings of work and a no decision. Thomas Hatch still came in relief and would toss 4 1/3 innings scoreless to earn the victory. Luke Kuechel led the offense with 3 RBI. Alan Roden, Brooks Lee, and Austin Martin each with solo home runs in the victory. Twins off today. They return home to the friendly confines of Target Field for a weekend series against the Royals, beginning Friday night at 7:10 with Joe Ryan on the mound. And as we look at the PGA Tour this weekend, they're in Memphis, Tennessee for the St. Jude Championship. Golfers begin teeing off in about 10 minutes. Tom Hoagie tees off his opening round at 8 a.m. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I are going to start looking into football season. 3 weeks away from Spud football opener here on WDAY Radio. 3 weeks away from the Dragon opener on our sister station, The Flag. And we're only going to be, by the time the show airs, we'll be about 45 hours away from the Vikings preseason opener Saturday afternoon.
All right, looking forward to it. Don Kinsler, NDSU, Cass County Extension Horticulturist, is here. If you have any lawn, garden, or tree questions, now is time to call 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Good morning to you, Don.
Well, good morning. Well, our yard and garden needed a little moisture, needed a little water, and we certainly got that.
Yeah, you know,
our rain gauge, South Fargo, had 3 inches, and then an inch day before. Do you know what happened to one of our young apple trees? And I've noticed this on a couple of other trees along the boulevard, relatively young trees. After all this rain, of course, our heavy soil gets squishy in a hurry.
Right.
And one of our young apple trees, about 4 years old, tilted at a 45-degree angle.
Oh, no kidding.
The soil just became so squishy that it just rotated in the wind, and I'm seeing a couple of younger trees on boulevards doing the same thing.
Oh, no.
So what I do and did last evening, drive a couple of fence posts, steel fence posts in opposite the lean, and then pull that back up. In our heavy clay soil, if it starts to dry, you're not going to be able to get it pulled back up. You see, I've learned that from experience. If I didn't get on it, I couldn't get it pulled back up. But while that soil is still squishy and the roots can still kind of take it, you pull it back upright, just, you know, bring it back on up. I've had that happen to poplars and a few things in some of these downpours we've had over the last number of years.
Huh.
And, you know, I've crossed my fingers, and the trees will usually tolerate that. You know,
I wouldn't expect that if a tree is already several years
old. Yeah, exactly.
Too,
you know, 4 years, you'd think rooted in enough. But, yeah, it does happen.
Huh.
So if that happened to anybody else, if you can get on it fairly quick, bring that tree back upright. You know, stake it back upright, you know, before the soil.
Trees are expensive. You don't want to be losing them.
Well, especially, that apple tree, 4 years, should be bearing probably next year or the year after.
Yeah. I had an apple tree. It took a good 10 years before.
Well, that happens. Yep.
That's a long haul.
They teach us patience.
Yeah.
You know,
Bonnie doesn't have a lot of patience, Don.
they can take, you know, 7 to 9, 10 years.
Mm.
Mother Nature teaches.
Yeah, speaking of apple trees, and we had Quincy from Carr's Tree Service in yesterday, and he brought up that they've been dealing with quite a bit of apple scab. And the interesting thing is you brought that up in the spring when we had that bad weather or hot weather and rain in May, and you were like, I wonder what might potentially happen to the apple and fruit trees coming up in the fall, and you're seeing the same thing.
Yeah, so it would be nice to have a crystal ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, last year we had a lot of apple scab, and what that does is both on fruiting apples and ornamental flowering crab apples, at a certain point, it's a fungal disease called apple scab, and at a certain point in summer, if the tree is infected, the leaves start turning yellow. They might have circular black or brown spots. And as it progresses, the leaves can just start falling off. And so I'm getting a lot of emails about apple scab symptoms already. Mm. We've had a lot of humidity. And so the area has been kind of a petri dish of fungal diseases. And so once again, we're seeing that. Now, okay, so a lot of the emails I'm getting, apple scab, yellowing of the leaves, dropping, what can we do? Fungicide applications need to be put on for prevention of apple scab, need to be put on in early spring, just as the leaves are unfolding. That's when the leaves start getting actually infected. If we have a lot of moisture, wet weather in spring, that's when it starts getting infected. But that's not the time we're thinking about apple scab. We think about it now when our tree is suffering. And so one thing we can do now is when the leaves drop, yellow and start dropping, rake them up and dispose. The apple scab fungus does overwinter on the fallen leaves and soil. So if you can get rid of some of that, the scientists call it inoculum. If you can get rid of some of that, then there may be less infection next year. Now, it usually doesn't kill a tree, but if this happens repetitively, this early defoliation, it can greatly stress a tree.
Mm. Okay.
So for right now, rake up, dispose of the leaves that are dropping, and set your sights maybe next spring, if this is going to be a repetitive thing, early next spring, visit the garden centers for a fungicide listed, labeled for apple scab.
So even if the leaves fall off and whatnot, can you still potentially get fruit on there?
On the flowering crab, on the flowering apple, usually there will be fruit set already. Sometimes they'll have some lesions on them, but they are edible yet.
Okay. 701-293-9000. Good morning. Do you have a question for Don?
Yeah, I was wondering, Don, we bought a house earlier this summer, and we're looking to plant our trees so that we have a tree that we planted the first year we had the house. What would you suggest?
For good trees, are you looking for a shade tree or kind of a decorative type tree the size of like flowering crab apples?
You know, probably a decorative.
Kind of a decorative. A Japanese tree lilac. Wonderful. 25, 30 feet tall, about that size of the flowering crab apple. You know, kind of considered a medium-sized decorative tree. You wouldn't even know they're lilac. Japanese tree lilac. Beautiful. Bloom mid-June. Nice. They're on boulevards around town. Deserve wider use. Some of the lindens will be smaller decorative, like Greenspire linden. Either of those would you'd be happy with. Large shade trees, okay. There's disease-resistant elms, hackberry, oak, a little slow-growing, but it'll be here for 400 years. Japanese tree lilac, some of the lindens, the smaller-scale lindens, I think you'd be happy with.
Perfect. Thank you, Don.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. 701-293-9000. If you have any questions, Don here for another couple of minutes with us, and he can answer them for you, or email your questions into studio at wdayradionow.com. Mountain ash trees.
Mountain ash, that would be a good one.
Do we see those as much? When I was growing up, I just absolutely loved those. We had a couple in our yard, and Grandma had a couple.
Ash, but they have kind of clusters of orangey-red blossom berries. Yeah. Oh, I should mention, there's nothing wrong with planting the ornamental flowering crab apples. The newer varieties are more resistant to disease. Mm. So check the labels at garden centers for flowering crab apple. They are beautiful. Mm-hmm. Check the label carefully for disease-resistant varieties. And a lot of the new ones do, and they don't have the big, messy, mushy fruits that drop as well.
And if you don't know, go ask our friends at Cheyenne Gardens in Harwood. They can help you out.
Definitely.
What other kinds of questions are you getting from
People? Lots of maples in the area, still turning yellow. Maples, especially in the Red River Valley and on west, iron deficiency yellowing. And when you drive up and down the streets, there are some really yellow maples.
Yeah, there are.
And garden centers sell iron products to treat them with. Just follow the label. If you don't treat a yellowing maple, over a few years, they can start to die. Mm. I'm watching a few on the boulevards along 52nd Avenue South, very yellow. And each year I'm seeing dead branches. So it is important to treat those yellowing maples.
Now, when it comes to people, like myself, we tried it in the past. We planted a couple trees. Now, granted, ours were taken out because of the rabbits. When it comes to people, when they plant a new tree in their yard, are they having more problems with, apple scab, some fungus, some type of disease, or are they maybe not being as patient when it comes to planting it, keeping it propped up with the support straps, watering it, and fertilizing it? What is the biggest problem people are having to overcome to make sure they have great trees in their yard?
Do you know the first thing that comes to mind is weed killers that we apply to the lawn?
Yeah.
This is becoming more and more a problem because, we don't want our yards to be overcome with weeds and thistles and everything else. And some of the weed control products that are used on lawns are very effective. But some can also leach down into the root system and be taken up by the roots and start showing problems on the trees. And so we are seeing an increasing number of trees damaged by weed killers. So I always suggest caution.
Yeah. We've got time for one more call. Good morning, friend. Do you have a question for Don?
Hello?
Hello. Do you have a question for Mr. Kinsler?
Yes, I do. On the west side of Roll Farm in South Fargo, there are some tall plants with a purple spike on top, and I believe that's ornamental millet. And I was wondering if that is viable in North Dakota.
It is ornamental millet, and you might be right. I think I know the area that you mentioned, and that could be ornamental millet, which is it's an annual. So the millets produce a really nice seed head. Many of the ornamental ones are purplish in color. And so if that is actually a millet, in fact, millet's a farm crop, too. You can raise millet.
Oh, sure.
But the ornamental types, so those, if that is millet, need to be planted each year.
Okay, and they can make it through the temperatures that we have in the summer. It's not too cold for them.
Exactly, yep. That should be fine. But yeah, if we do, and I'm not familiar with any perennial type. There are kind of look-alike perennial grasses kind of like that. But the true millet typically is grown from seed each year.
All right. Thank you for the question, and thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
You bet, Don. If our listeners have any more questions for you, how do they find you?
Send an email to me, donald.kinsler, K-I-N-Z-L-E-R, at ndsu.edu. And if you don't receive a response in a couple of days, sometimes some of these things with the high security get sent to junk mail. I try to monitor.
But if
you don't get a response from me within a couple of days, you'll send it again.
Keep bugging
him. Either that or just wait longer.
Tell me he hasn't responded to you.
He's got lots of emails coming in, so just give him some time.
That may be true as well.
I'll get after him if you let me know that he's not responding back to you. Thanks.
Yeah. You do it. Yeah. Thank you all for listening.
You bet. It is 7:21. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel is going to be joining us coming up next.
7:24, we head out to the farm to talk with Ag Director Bridget Riedel. How are you doing this morning, Bridget?
Wearing arm floaties and keeping my head above the surface of the water.
Yeah.
I don't know why you have to tell everybody that you're broadcasting from the hot tub, but whatever.
I would say today, with temperatures going to 100 degrees, Jace, that water out there sitting on soybean fields is going to feel like a hot tub. It's like turning a stove to simmer.
What did you establish from what you've observed or heard from farmers out there?
So I got back from Minot last night. What I could see was things along Highway 2 still look really good. Folks were actually combining wheat right around Rugby. The further south I got, the more moisture standing in fields. Right now, that Castleton to Buffalo area, there is a lot of water moving through there. When you get out to Cullum and Ellendale, you know, those are folks that were pushing anywhere from 4.5 to 7 inches of rain as well. But due to the topography where they've got some rolling hills, it helps, right? They can drain fields better than where we're so flat here in Cass County, and it's going to be great for pastures and stock dams. But again, western Cass County, the legal drains are doing everything they can. I had gotten a message yesterday afternoon after I was off air asking for a tractor and a large pump to the city of Wheatland because they had barely had any water go down within the city that was causing backup in homes. I have not gotten an update as to whether or not they got that tractor and pump yet. I hope so, because that was probably at 3 o'clock yesterday. I got the message. So meanwhile, we still have things we've got to do on the farm. One of them is that brand renewals. Here in North Dakota, we are a brand state, and that means that we have to keep our brands registered, kind of like you register the license on your car or pickup, right? So they were renewed every 5 years, and 2025 is a brand renewal year. So as a brand owner, you can expect to be getting your renewal notice in the mail this month, and you'll have until December 31st to renew the brand. If you don't, North Dakota Stockman's Association and the brand registry will assume that you don't have an interest, and it will be up for grabs if somebody else wants to renew that brand for their own operation. Brand renewals are only $50, and they're good for 5 years. I know $50 can be tight, but if it's something that you need for your livestock operation, $50 is the way to go. Spend that money. Keep that brand registered to your herd. And don't forget, you can still continue to get your branding irons from there's only two places left in the U.S. One of them is in Mandan, North Dakota, L&H Branding Irons.
Oh, my goodness. That's cool.
They have the longest history of making branding irons, hot and cold brands, across the entire U.S. Yeah, very cool. Now, also, we have what's called the HELP Act that was introduced by a representative from Colorado. The hauling exemptions for livestock protection. So this is legislation that supports livestock haulers by protecting the drivers from those burdensome hours of service, which is called an HOS, and the electronic logging device mandates. When you're hauling cattle, hogs, other livestock, you're dealing with stock that's got to be protected from the elements, can't be easily unloaded, and you got to get to your destination. So what they're trying to do with this legislation is allow those livestock haulers to get where they need to go in the right amount of time. There are regulations that if you have an extended haul, you do have to stop, unload, provide water, feed, etc. But what they're trying to do is make sure that within the window of time that you can move animals most efficiently, that you're doing it without having to stop and so forth. And when I say livestock haulers, some of you will know them by the name bull racks, cattle pots. They're the large transport trucks that you see that are hauling live animals up and down our highways. And secondly, beef prices, they're still up.
Yeah.
They aren't coming down, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Some reasons to that? Well, I think we kind of talked about this a little bit too. Really got to plan on 3 years to get a cow ready for processing, because you've got to make the decision. There's a gestation period. Calf's born. Raise the calf, and that calf should have a calf as well. So certainly right now we're happily seeing more mama cows than we want to see bulls, but nonetheless, we also are happy to see that the rainfall is making for good pasture. We're filling stock dams and allowing for good herd health, as well as, again, just making sure that we get those healthy calves built up through fruition to try to build our herd back, because currently our supply is not going to be able to meet the demand where we're at. I know we're concerned about beef prices, but they are going to stay very steady and strong at least through 2027 from the looks of things. Mm. Could be a black swan event that changes it, but that appears to be the economists' predictions at this point.
We haven't slowed down on the hamburger in our house. Maybe we don't have steak quite as often as we used to have steak. But
When you talk, though, about increasing beef herd size, obviously not the individual, cattle, just to, getting them bigger.
Of head.
But the number of head, I mean, is it, how do I put this? Are you having, one cow have multiple calves because it's good breeding stock for beef cattle? Or is it just you have a cow, she has one calf, and then that cow is off to slaughter? Or are you slaughtering more bulls than cows? I mean, what's kind of the ratio of bulls to cows when it comes to beef?
So right now, because we use a heavier amount of AI, artificial insemination, we don't need quite as many live bulls. We still need them, right? But not quite as many. So yes, if you have bulls that you can cull and you can send to slaughter, you will. If you have a cow that is not a pregnant cow and you don't need her, she's on her way off for slaughter as well, because prices are quite high. How often do we have twins? Twins are not a planned for. That just doesn't happen. They're usually more of a surprise more than anything. If you have twins, you're going to do everything you can to keep both of them alive, especially if they're both heifers, both females. So I think there's just it's a case-by-case decision, but by all means, we still have to continue to raise the fat cattle, which are going to be going in for slaughter, and then we've also just got to keep and retain our mama cows as much as we can in order to continue to increase the numbers. It's not the size of the cattle like you're talking about, Chase, but it's the number within the herd that we need more of.
Exactly.
Lots going on. And if you have questions about it, you can email me, ag@flagfamily.com. I'll be joined today by Mark Wagner with ND Estate Services as my guest for Weather and Ag in Focus. When talking to Mark, can you pass those cows along through an estate? I bet you can. So we'll have a discussion about that with Mark as we get into Weather and Ag in Focus.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Bridget.
Have a great day.
You too. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. It is 7:31. Hot and humid today. Partly cloudy skies. Evening thunderstorms scattered throughout the region. Some of those storms could be severe. Storms will start out in western North Dakota, roll through Bismarck, Jamestown late afternoon and evening time here in the FM Metro. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki says perhaps they could weaken slightly as they move east. However, the concern is damaging winds and large hail. 90 for our high temp today. South-southeast winds 5 to 15. 68 the overnight low. Very concerned about the weather tomorrow. Pay close attention. Partly cloudy, warm, humid, severe storms possible mid to late afternoon into the evening hours here in the FM Metro. We're at a level 3 alert. Dino thinks that could get bumped up to a level 4 alert. The biggest concern is the possibility of tornadoes and large hail. 90 again for the high temp tomorrow. South-southeast winds 5 to 15. We'll break the humidity and the storms will push out for the weekend. Looking lovely for the weekend, mostly sunny Saturday. 83 for the high. Sunday, partly to mostly sunny with a high of 81. Right now, we have sunshine, 68 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo, dew point at 67, so very sticky. South-southeast winds at 6 miles an hour.
Weather is sponsored by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with 3 Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can car more. 7:35, we've got to check on your national news. Then when we come back, we'll have a sports update from Big Game James McCarty. Bonnie will have your 3-degree guarantee that we got early this morning from Dean Wysocki. And then after that, we'll have Money Markets coming up at about the top of the hour.
7:39, time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
PGA Tour St. Jude Championship at TPC Southwind in Memphis, Tennessee. Golfers began teeing off in the last 15 or so minutes. Tom Hoge will tee off with his group partner and Matt Fitzpatrick at 8 a.m. this morning. Hoge trying to make the cut for the first time in a handful of weeks, and a good opportunity this weekend for him. Minnesota Twins taking down the Detroit Tigers 9-4 in their series rubber match on Wednesday afternoon. 4 different pitchers making an appearance for the Twins, but it was capped off with Thomas Hatch, who threw 4 1/3 shutout innings in relief here in the win. And Luke Kieschel, excuse me, he drove in three runs for the second straight game. Allen Roden, Brooks Lee, Austin Martin, each with solo home runs in the victory. Twins off today. They return home to Minneapolis. The friendly confines of Target Field for a weekend series against the Kansas City Royals that begins Friday night with Joe Ryan on the mound at 7:10. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, after being rained out on Tuesday night, had a traditional seven-inning doubleheader against the Lincoln Salt Dogs on Wednesday evening. Game number one resulted in a Nick Northcutt walk-off RBI double to get him an 8-7 victory. And in game two, in the bottom of the sixth inning, a local Fargo product and Michael Hallquist hit a go-ahead solo home run that eventually would turn into the game-winning run. They get a 3-2 win in game two, sweep that doubleheader, and now looking to try and sweep the entire series beginning tonight at Newman Outdoor Field. First pitch is slated for 7:02. They'll hit the road for the weekend after tonight's matchup. And tonight, primetime sports, Jason and I at 6:30. We'll talk some Vikings football as we are officially 2 days away from the first preseason game. You're going to get your first action of seeing J.J. McCarthy out there. Brian Flores has been talking about the chemistry of the defense and how I don't want to say midseason form, but just how well the group has gelled and how progressed it looks as though they are, how far above in front of normal progressions they look, because it's such a experienced group that's been together for the last three or four seasons.
That's one of the things that Coach Lockway said Monday at Media Day for the mm-hmm. Dragons, was that one of the questions from one of the other reporters was talking about the offense with everybody being back, all the guys on the offensive line, obviously the receivers, the quarterback, and it just allows you to get you already got the basics down, you might say. The mm-hmm. basics are installed, and you can move forward quicker than if you have to start from scratch and get everybody up to speed on your packages. So if they've got a veteran crew coming back, you're going to be farther along right now because people already know the defense and they know what their roles are. So
and since you had mentioned it, of course, 3 weeks away tonight mm-hmm. from Dragon football, the season open on our sister station, The Flag. You had mentioned that. There's four senior wide receivers for the Dragons this year.
Yeah.
Senior quarterback, two senior offensive linemen. There's all five of those starting offensive linemen with a couple of guys depth-wise are three-year starters as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is kind of wild to think about. The entire secondary is back for the Dragons, and you're plugging and playing some depth pieces on both the linebacking court and the defensive line as we enter this year. Max Watson, the Fargo North product, the kicker, and we'll see if he ends up punting as well or if he just takes care of the kicking duties this year for MSUM. But it'll be 5 p.m. Central Time. On Thursday, the 28th of August, we'll have on our sister station, The Flag, Dragon football. And, you know, that game, the entire first half, you know, rock and roll with us. Yeah. And if you're a diehard Spud fan, well, Spud football will have their first game in the 6A class that same night here on WDAY Radio with Larry Knutson, the call. It's a 7 p.m. kickoff. Off the top of my head, I cannot remember the opponent. I want to say Wayzata, but that might be a couple weeks later. Regardless, they have that season opener 3 weeks from today. 3 weeks from tomorrow, we'll have our first Metro high school football game. Mm-hmm. Fargo-Davies taking on Minot High. That'll be here on WDAY radio as well. And 3 weeks from Saturday, Bison football is back, which means Cobber football, if Larry Knutson's back, 4 weeks from Saturday. Every time I say that, we get a couple days closer. I get a little bit more giddy, like a kid that's been looking under a Christmas tree for the last 4 weeks, and I see another present get added there, whereas I'm sure about half our listening base goes, James, shut up. I want to enjoy the last couple weeks of summer.
No,
well, and unfortunately, that's not how I'm wired.
There's a lot of local kids on that Dragon team as well. We've got representatives from West Fargo, West Fargo Cheyenne. We've got DGF on the squad as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Fargo North. Incoming Barnesville recruit as well this year. You've got North. You've got Shanley.
Yep. A lot of local flavor that is able to
Detroit Lakes
around,
as well,
stick around the metro area, which is always great to see.
I looked up the schedule, too. The Moorhead Spuds taking on Rogers Thursday, August 28th, 7 p.m.
Is Rogers known for anything else besides that nice truck stop area they have there?
That's Clearwater. I mean, Rogers is known
Clearwater,
for
Clearwater,
Well, that's a nice place to stop
there's
for
some
gas
really,
and
really,
Rogers.
Rogers some good, like, caramel rolls and
Rogers,
you know.
They always said when we're coming back from the cities that, you know, we could stop in Rogers because they had a number of fast food places there when we're coming back.
Well, yeah, I mean, off the interstate. Yeah, they do.
So I just assumed it was a truck stop area, but I don't know.
That's Clearwater. That's where they have the really good donuts that people like to go to.
Yeah, and then you got St. Michael, Albertville. St. Michael's got the
shopping malls.
Outlet malls. They've got the big old Cabela's there right off the interstate.
I didn't know.
Leave it to James. I know where all the Cabela's are.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Grand Forks, and then I got to make a decision. Am I going to the St. Michael area, or am I going, you know, to like Sioux Falls or South Omaha?
I didn't know smelling salts were still being used in this day and age.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
Hockey players use them every shift.
Jeez.
Just about.
No wonder why they're wired the way they are. Have you?
Well, yeah.
I mean, Bonnie,
they don't feel anything.
Have you smelled those things before? My goodness.
Well, yeah, as a kid, I mean, you'd find them like in the coaches and gym teachers, but I didn't realize they were still using them.
No, I mean, the NFL just recently, they're banning from the team supplying them, but if a player wants to use them on their own, they can.
Oh, that's what the whole report, I haven't looked into it, I just saw the headline.
I'm just like, I
so the team can't buy them, the players have to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how many of these guys are going to try and get it medically, wrote off?
I don't know. I guess to me, other than kind of, you know, just opening up your airways, which to me, I think I would have thought that's what the part
is. Well, they bring you back around if you're kind of woozy, too.
Oh, really? Well, all I know is
kind of snap you in attention. That's
all I know is that as bad as they smell, the only time I'd really want to use those is when I can't breathe through my nose because I got congestion going on. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you see players still using it, you know?
I didn't realize that until I saw that headline there. So, okay, interesting.
Yeah, depending on what level you're using, a quick sniff of those and... You could either get, you know, put back straight in your place, or you could end up laying flat down and looking up at the stars.
Make your hair curl. 7:46, your 3-degree guarantee straight ahead. 7:48, time now for your 3-degree guarantee.
It is brought to you by the Window and Door Store, where they have windows and doors.
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm, they can help you out. All right, so Dean yesterday was calling for a high of?
82.
He tells me we hit 85. So he made the 3-degree guarantee. So he's got 9 in a row right
yes,
now? Yes,
barely.
All right, so I should make sure he didn't update the website from what I grabbed off there earlier. He has for today's high temp, he's still sticking with, 90 degrees for our high temp today. So 90.
It's going to be 90 today?
Yeah, and tomorrow too.
I'm not going outside.
Excuse me, I've been doing the weather all morning. Have you not listened to me? Linda, listen to me.
No, I just...
You're like, tune me out just like we tune Dean out usually. Yeah, he's got 90 today and
90,
tomorrow.
Ugh, I'm not going outside.
Me neither. That's it. No, just to get to my
90
car.
And humid? Awesome. Like for those of you, I can't wait to stand outside in the heat and humidity during concerts.
I could golf tonight, but I'm not.
You're already decided.
I'm a little busy today.
I've got some things on my calendar. I just don't have time.
My air conditioning, thanks to ladies, works lovely in my house. I am not leaving my house after I get home today. But 90, your 3-degree guarantee, brought to you by the Window and Door Store. 7:49, a couple of different interesting medical front stories, and we'll talk about those straight ahead. We do have sunshine out there. It's going to be sunny, hot, and humid today. 90 for high temps. Saw some medical stories that I thought,
I don't have any in my pocket, though.
Well, you should keep some in your pocket, because on those gloomy days, it's nice to have a little sunshine.
I have it inside me.
Okay, good for you. Study finds HEPA air purifiers can help lower blood pressure. A few points. I mean, a few points is better than no points.
Well, but...
They studied people who live near busy highways, and they say if they run air purifiers with HEPA filters, they might have lower blood pressure. They say they cut the study found that after a month of air filter use, systolic blood pressure dropped by nearly 3 points in healthy adults who had slightly elevated blood pressure. That's cool. Comes from the American College of Cardiology.
It is, but I'm curious as to why. I mean,
I suppose maybe because it you get the humming, kind of the white noise, kind of and lowers your stress level.
Well, my question is because you're talking about an air filter. Mm-hmm. So is it because the quality of air is better that it makes your body work less so it's easier to maintain a lower blood pressure? Or is it, as you just pointed out, your first thought was is it the calming of the air filter or the air purifier running?
Researchers say people might not realize they're being exposed to traffic-related air pollution.
Mm, so this is more on the air pollution side, not the calming effect.
Yep.
So.
And they also say high levels of the tiniest particles found in traffic-related air pollution are known risk factors for developing high blood pressure. So.
I would figure it's diet, lack of exercise, maybe stress levels. There's a number of things that can go into blood pressure.
Pollution, air pollution, I mean, that can raise your stress level too. So.
Oh, well, yeah.
This one's kind of concerning, though. CPAP usage for sleep apnea might actually increase heart health risks for some. They say it's not necessarily. I thought CPAP machines were good. It's not necessarily a good idea
hey,
for everyone.
You know what? You know, if you use a CPAP machine to sleep better, so you don't die in your sleep, that's fine. But you're going to have heart issues. So it's kind of like pick your poison. Which way do you want it to? You know, have health issues.
So make sure you really have sleep apnea before you get one of these. This is a European Heart Journal study. They say CPAP might escalate heart health risk among people with milder sleep apnea, particularly if the condition doesn't cause them to feel sleepy during the daytime.
Is it because maybe they're not cleaning their CPAP machines often enough and completely enough so that maybe they're getting some type of bacteria or something like that that could cause other health problems? Because you would think a lot of people that have to use CPAP machines, I mean, they stop breathing at night.
Right.
So it seems like that's pretty necessary for them to be able to sleep and maintain a normal life, because obviously you need that, at least 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night to kind of maintain healthy function.
And these are the ones with mild cases specifically they're talking about. They say they pulled together three separate studies that they have. It shows a clear benefit using a CPAP machine for people with high-risk sleep apnea. But with people that don't have high-risk sleep apnea or don't feel sleepy during the day, it appears to increase their risk of serious heart problems by 30% if they're using a CPAP. So,
wow.
Interesting.
No, I wasn't using the CPAP machine, so I'm not.
Somebody in my house needs one, but he's in denial. But that's a good story. Probably for the last, exactly, welcome to my world, the last 30 years. This chain store has filed for bankruptcy again.
Oh, my gosh, the big surprise.
Yeah, find out who it is. Money and markets straight ahead. 7:58, checking out your money and markets. Opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed higher on Wall Street yesterday. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 81 points. S&P 500 was up 45, and the NASDAQ gained 252 points.
President Trump's sweeping tariffs slate went into effect just after midnight Eastern time. Import taxes will reach levels not seen in the country in almost 100 years, with over 60 countries in the European Union facing rates of 15% or more. A wide variety of products will be hit, ranging from appliances, cars, food, and furniture. In a post on Truth Social just after things went into effect, Trump said billions of dollars are now flowing, end quote, into the U.S.
Meanwhile, President Trump says Apple will invest $600 billion in the U.S. He was joined by Apple CEO Tim Cook at the White House yesterday for that announcement, where he added the investment will happen over the next 4 years. It's $100 billion more than what was originally pledged by Apple. Part of the investment includes new facilities in Texas, Arizona, Utah, and New York.
The weekly look at first-time unemployment claims is due today. Most analysts expect the Labor Department to report it received around 221,000 initial requests for benefits last week. That would be a relatively slight change from the previous reporting of 218,000 the week before that.
And Claire's is filing for bankruptcy for the second time in less than a decade. The Illinois-based accessories retailer announced it was voluntarily beginning Chapter 11 proceedings to maximize the value of its business. The CEO of Claire's called the decision difficult but necessary, and the company's Canadian branch is also expected to file bankruptcy. North American Claire's locations are expected to remain open for now. The store that all little girls like to shop at.
Well, it's, to me, it's always a store where you find earrings and get
your ears
pierced by somebody who just learned how to do it the week before. So a lot of experience there. But, it's kind of funny to file for bankruptcy a second time. Maybe the business model is just ain't working no more.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to rethink your company's strategy and or maybe you need to scale back. I mean, Brian Kronk has told us many times these businesses need to get lean and mean and find the best way to make profit for their shareholders, et cetera. And if your company's job is, selling earrings, ear piercings, et cetera, I mean, you got to find a way to make that profitable.
Yep.
But filing for bankruptcy a second time certainly does not look good for the company.
Nope. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 8:01. 8:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki says, expect a partly cloudy, hot, humid day today with scattered evening thunderstorms. Some of those could be severe. Storms will start out in western North Dakota, roll through the central part of the state late afternoon, and we'll see them here in the evening. There's a possibility they could weaken as they move to the east, but the potential for damaging winds and large hail is there. 90 for the high temp today, winds south-southeast 5 to 15, 68 our overnight low. More concern about tomorrow's weather. They are talking possible tornadoes. Dean says the National Weather Service has us at a level alert of 3, but he thinks that might even be bumped up to a level alert 4, threat alert 4 for the weather. The concern about possible tornadoes, large hail. It's going to be another hot, humid day tomorrow, 90 for our high temp. Winds south-southeast 5 to 15. Make sure you have a plan what to do just in case we do see that severe weather, not only tonight, but again tomorrow afternoon into the evening hours, especially if you're outdoors, maybe you're camping, maybe you're at WeFest. Please pay attention to the weather. Dean will be on the air with us, keeping us updated if that weather does get severe. And then things will kind of scour out for the weekend, much calmer. The humidity will drop, mostly sunny Saturday, 83 for the high with west-southwest winds 10 to 20. And Sunday, another pleasant day, partly to mostly sunny, 81 for our high temp. Right now, we have sunshine, 70 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo, south winds at 5. Very sticky as the dew point is close to our actual temperature. Dew point right now at 67. 8:05, time for your national news from ABC. Then big game, James McCarty has your WDAY radio sports. All right, our hunter is arriving in studio. Wait, before you go over to your mic, go over there. What are those birds over there? We're trying to figure out. There's some, they're at the edge of the pond. We're wondering if they're quail, but they're dark. And so we have no idea. James is going over to the window. He's our hunter. Jason and I are like, what are those?
I don't know.
There's like about a dozen of them, and they're kind of, it's babies and I suppose mom and dad or whatever, and they're kind of waddling, but we're not sure what they were. We'll see what kind of hunter he calls himself when he gets back over to his microphone. What are they, James?
They kind of look like prairie chickens.
But they're so dark.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they are very dark. But
they're like a dark brown black. That's what's throwing me off.
I mean, they're definitely not a grouse. That's interesting.
Let's call Sally at the zoo. We just noticed them. It's just like, what? Well,
where's Jeff at?
Those?
Where's Benda at? Yeah, he's got to be listening.
I don't know what they are.
They're
cute,
birds.
Though. They're cute, though. I mean, we saw the little ducklings. They're not ducks, though.
No,
but they're the little birds in a row behind mom and dad. And I don't know. They're just so dark.
Yeah, they're darker so than quail.
Maybe a prairie chicken, but I've never seen them that dark. Now I stumped you, didn't I?
Dark like your humor, James.
Yeah,
he's Googling images.
I'm not.
Do they have an image for birds? Well, like,
don't you have it? Like,
yeah. Wait, I have the Merlin app. Let me go see if it'll go through the glass. You guys,
I don't think it'll go through. We're soundproof in here.
Yeah, isn't your app for like the sound?
No, but I think you can take pictures.
I know my wife has got one that you can identify plants by taking a picture.
I think I can do. Yes, I can do it with my Merlin app. So I'm going to go over to the window see if it'll connect.
Merlin,
you think they're chirping?
They're in the rocks. All right, tell me some sports news.
Oh, well, that's a good point. That's what we're doing, aren't we? That's the day job. The PGA Tour St. Jude Championship, TPC Southwind, Memphis, Tennessee. Golfers began teeing off about 45 or so minutes ago. You've got a scatter of a dozen guys between one under and one over par early on in the morning. Tom Hoagie just teed off a couple minutes ago, just wrapping up that first hole with his pairing partner of Matt Fitzpatrick. And hopefully he'll make the cut with a good start today in round number one.
It's telling me it's a barnacle goose, but I don't think we have barnacle goose. I've never even heard of
I don't think
a
that's any
goose.
Version of a goose there. That's
doesn't look like a barnacle to me.
No. That looks no.
Try again,
Merlin. I'm not doing well, but I do know it's not a goose. I'm struggling, but that app might struggle a little more. Maybe the app heard Jay squawking. Thought
I
was
have out. Trouble through the glass. Like if I went outside, but I don't have time to go outside.
Well, why not? We could stall for you.
No, they're cute though. Whatever they are.
On the diamond, the Twins take their series rubber match against the Tigers in Detroit, 9-4 Wednesday afternoon. Four different pitchers participating in that victory. Thomas Hatch had the longest outing with 4 1/3 innings of shutout ball. He earned the victory. Luke Kieschel with a 3 RBI day for the second straight day. Alan Roden, Brooks Lee, Austin Martin each hitting solo home runs in the victory. Twins off today. They're going to head home, and they'll start a series at Target Field against another division rival in the Kansas City Royals Friday night beginning at 7:10 with Joe Ryan on the mound. After a rainout Tuesday night, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks had a doubleheader, a seven-inning doubleheader against the Lincoln Salt Dogs, winning game one in walk-off fashion with a Nick Northcutt RBI double, 8-7. And then in game two, it was knotted up at two apiece in the bottom of the sixth when Michael Hallquist came in and hit a solo home run, which turned out to be the game-winning run. Redhawks sweep the doubleheader, trying to sweep the series tonight at Newman Outdoor Field. 7:02 is first pitch of that final game of the series. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I, with football being back, we just got to talk a little Vikings preseason, the expectation for this weekend's games. Of course, we're going to have football on NFL Network tonight. We got three games in total, two on NFL Network. And so we're just getting giddy. We're like a bunch of kids waiting for Christmas Day.
I'm excited for football season, but I'm not excited for the Vikings to be playing a preseason game on Saturday when we have temperatures in the 90s with high humidity. To me, it doesn't
scream football
weather. Well,
that's why they're
going
to be at U.S. Bank Stadium where it's climate controlled.
I know, but it just doesn't – I'm not in the mood for football when it's this hot.
Well – I'm in the
you
mood
better
for,
get in the mood.
I'm in the mood for grilling, eventually. So that's what I'll be doing.
Ooh, that sounds good. Love grilling.
I don't know what we're going to do yet. I got to either check the freezer or check the specials some places, you know. We got the local meat markets around here. See what they got in their fridges.
Yeah.
We, ready to roll those coolers.
We grill so much. We did pork chops the other night.
I haven't had those in a while.
We kind of run the circuit. You don't want to get sick of the same
thing. Yeah, exactly. There's some pork chops this week. That sounds kind of good.
Pork chops were really good, yeah.
That's what that's what I got when last time I
went. Been a while since
I
had pork loin.
Went to Texas Roadhouse. I actually got the pork chops there.
Did you?
Yeah. They're always good.
I don't think I've ever eaten a pork chop at a restaurant. Maybe if you went to an event, say like at the Holiday Inn, and then a pork chop was served.
I was just a little bit less hungry than I normally am because I think I had eaten like a late lunch and I was waiting for Sandy to get home. I think that was on our anniversary and then we went there, so I just got a pork chop instead.
I like pork chops.
Because, you know, getting chicken, you always get chicken at any place.
Chicken's delicious.
Then I know that I've had the pork chop there before and I just wasn't quite hungry enough for a steak, so I went and got the pork chop. It was a good choice.
Yeah, chicken is usually my go-to, like if we go out to eat somewhere. I love seafood and chicken. Just not a huge... Like, I'll take a burger over steak. I know I'm weird, but I'd rather have a burger.
The thing I will go out on a limb and say right now is that when you go to places like the burrito places, like Chipotle, like Pancheros, etc., Qdoba is a place we love to go to. I've been lately staying away from the chicken because the chicken feels kind of dry.
They got to cook it to be well.
So if you get the pork carnitas... That's nice and juicy, and that's really good. So I've been kind of on the pork bandwagon when I go and I get a burrito or a burrito bowl, just because I think the meat texture is a little bit better than if you want to go with chicken, you know, because chicken just feels really dry. So there's that.
Speaking of food,
yes.
This shouldn't. Wow,
it shouldn't surprise anyone.
Well, maybe it surprises. This is surprising. However, I think we can all agree that French fries are not health food, right?
Since when?
Yeah, they are if you say they are.
How often in a week do you eat French fries? Do you eat French fries weekly? I do not. Maybe I have French fries every couple of months or something.
Oh, I
really?
I'd say almost probably at least once every 2 weeks, right? I mean, okay.
I eat them more, but I don't really make French fries at home, so it's only when I go out to eat somewhere,
I mean, you go someplace to eat with, it's a burger place, you get them. I know.
I eat potatoes regularly, though, whether it's, you know, like a baked potato or like a coined up potato.
Can you combine, you know, obviously French fries, tater tots, etc., because last time I went out, we went to Smash.
I think like the tater tots would go under the same umbrella
Gets tossed in grease,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
We went to Smashburger and I got the tots because you could get chili and cheese on them. So
okay, so anything deep fried, you know, whether they're tots or whatever, potato olays or French fries. French fries are linked to type 2 diabetes. A study looked at all different. They even say the mashed are fine. Mashed, baked, boiled potatoes, fine.
Those are much better for you.
It's the French fries, and this is Harvard University's T.H. Chan School of Public Health kind of looked into this, and they say people who are eating French fries, 3 weekly servings of French fries. So if you're eating French fries 3 times a week or more, it's associated with a 20% risk of developing type 2 diabetes.
Well, my first thought on that is that obviously, too much saturated fats, you know, associated with having French fries. Obviously, I could totally see that. But at the same time, if you look at the people that are eating French fries three times a week, look at the rest of their diet. Are they having any fruits? Are they having any vegetables? With the French fries, are they having fried chicken? Are they having hamburgers? Are they having hot dogs? I mean, to me, it seems like French fries having that three times a week would be part of an unhealthy diet in general.
Right.
Not just the French fries.
Yeah. I think we all should know that French fries, anything deep fried is not healthy.
No, and I think everybody knows everything.
Unless it's fish.
Love fish.
Fish fresh out of the lake. That's a health food deep fried.
Okay.
I also didn't pay to have anybody survey it. That's a personal opinion.
Yes. Yeah. I love.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Who brought us this survey about the French fries? Is it brought to you by the National Cauliflower Association?
It comes from Harvard. It comes from their medical.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm glad that they privately fund that stuff though, because I mean, yeah.
The fish
I like my deep fried.
As much as I like breaded deep fried fish, yes. But my mom taught me you can also do it well too, where you can just put it in a baking dish and just put it in the microwave and poach it that way too, and it does taste good that way too.
Yeah,
is it as tasty as deep
fried? A little panko in the oven that'll work.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The study. So potatoes are not the enemy, because the study also looked at other kinds, including mashed potatoes. You mashed potato lovers out there. And that did not increase the risk of the diabetes. But eating French fries three times a week or more, they studied 205,000 adults in this long-spanning study. It took more than three decades. 20% excess risk of developing type 2 diabetes if you're eating the French fries three times a week or more. That's a lot of French fries.
We won't do that. Mm-hmm. You remember this morning you talked about the guy who got arrested in Germany in the Autobahn for going
too fast.
Almost 200 miles an hour.
Way too fast. Yeah.
There's a story here that says one driver hit 283 miles per hour before they crashed. This guy was trying to break the land speed record in Utah over the weekend.
Oh, I saw that he died. Yeah. Salt Lake Flats there.
He was the fastest participant in last year's event, where he hit 459 miles an hour. But obviously, you hit just the littlest thing and you fly out of control. And kind of bringing that up, though, kind of goes to that person who's going 200 miles an hour on the Autobahn. I mean, it's one thing, and I think every probably young person has done it at some time. You take your vehicle out on a stretch of road that you know there's nothing on it, so you can see how fast you go. There was one time me and my buddy had to go out to his folks' farm to get something. We had a softball game coming up. Mm-hmm. So we had to hurry up and get out there and hurry and get back. And so he let me drive back to town or whatever. And we're probably, I don't know, 10, 15 miles away. I forget what it was. And we got that little, Pontiac Fiero, see how fast it would go. And we're going over 100 miles an hour. But if you think about going over almost 200 miles an hour, the reaction time you have to make adjustments to your travel, I mean, that is...
I can't even fathom that fast.
That is...
even 100 is ridiculous.
Awful, just the minor, just milliseconds you have to make a decision and you might be causing a huge accident. Yeah. So,
I don't know, if there's a lot of ranches that have these, but I don't think about Washington State and bison or buffaloes. But
do they have them out there?
Apparently.
Like a plethora?
It doesn't say, but some got loose, and Washington State troopers were called in to help traffic brought to a standstill when a herd of escaped bison found their way onto the road.
Oops.
Blocking traffic in both directions on a major highway.
Oh, that's not good.
They posted, the Washington State Department of Transportation posted on X, "This isn't Yellowstone."
"This isn't Yellowstone. Go back to your home."
So, apparently, I suppose if you have ranches there, they at least have them on a ranch.
Well, I would think that they probably got some, maybe the terrain isn't as obviously a prairie-like. Maybe it's more hilly there, but I bet you the weather and the opportunity for vegetation to grow for them to feed on is probably pretty good out there.
Yeah, very pretty picture of them. It must have been the trooper here who took this picture that they have posted. And you can see mountains, in the background, but you can see trees and you can see, rangeland where they probably came across.
Well, at least someone called 911 or called the authorities for a reasonable one. Unlike this Pennsylvania lady, a real Karen, she called 911 on a child's lemonade stand.
Oh, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, and she called, said it, claiming it was an annoying and a nuisance, and she argued the stand was too close to the road and demanded immediate action. Well, one of the officers showed up.
I love this.
Officer Mark showed up. I would butcher his last name, so I'll skip it. He arrived at the scene, and he found when he got there, he found anything but anything that was causing a nuisance. He saw a cheerful young girl politely serving lemonade in the sunshine. No laws broken, no chaos, just classic summertime vibes. Instead of shutting it down, what did he do? He took a pose for a selfie, and then he happily sipped on a cup of lemonade. He later posted about the encounter on Facebook. And so he's like, I guess he said on his Facebook post, quote, "Thank you to Mrs. Anonymous for calling to complain about a kid's lemonade stand. We responded and enjoyed a refreshing cup while making some new friends." So,
well, yeah.
I mean, I understand if it's not safe or it's something like you
like
said.
Like you worry about maybe the kids running in the street or something, then obviously.
I mean, I've seen at least, I don't know, 3-4 times this summer, some kid that usually in our neighborhood puts a little table out all around the corner and they're trying to sell lemonade. I mean, my kid and my two neighbors' kids, when both neighbors lived there, they're all within a couple, few weeks of each other's birthday. So they were out there trying to do that one time. Do people normally stop by? Not really in our neighborhood so much. I mean, a few people will, but not enough to actually, you know, make anything really doing it. But, it's cute and kids want to try it. They'll make a lemonade set. Some parents even build a specific lemonade stand for their kids, you know, but to call on them and to be like, oh, this is a nuisance and it's annoying. Well, you know what? Maybe just buy a glass of lemonade and have a good day. Yeah. You know, I mean, you can choose to be happy or grumpy. You know, it's up to you.
I love how the police handled this one. This is sweet here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody posted on there, next time I see a lemonade stand, I'm calling the cops so they can get a drink too.
Exactly. I wonder if the cops got a discount though.
No,
law enforcement discount for you, sir.
Yeah, we see a lot of kids. Logan, in fact, stopped at one a couple weeks back. He's like, there were some cute kids on the corner selling lemonade, so I gave him $5. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you probably totally made your day.
Oh, absolutely.
We have a CCRI house in our neighborhood just about four doors down from us. And a couple times this summer here, I've seen one of the residents there with one of the caretakers sitting out on our street on the curb there and selling candy and stuff. I thought, And every time I've seen them, I'm always walking Odin, and I don't have money on me, so it's not like I'm driving by. But
they're probably like, you know, you can pay electronically with your phone, man.
Yeah, I would have my phone on me, too. I just talk to them as I'm walking by, but that's cool. 701-293-9000. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
This is Shirley Cullen. They're talking right now on the radio about the lemonade stands.
Yeah.
I told one lady one day when I stopped and she came out her door getting after these kids for having it, I said, "You were a child one time."
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, they're just doing what kids do. Want to make a couple bucks selling their lemonade. Good for you for getting after her, Shirley.
Yep. I don't believe in that crap. I mean, I did it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And they're not harming nobody.
Yeah. Exactly. Shirley, thanks for calling and thanks for listening.
Yep, bye-bye.
Yeah, you have yourself a great day.
Nice job, Shirley.
Yes, absolutely. 825, stand by. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly. Coming up tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback. We bring that to you each and every morning right around 6:56. Brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing U2, Kiss, Glenn Campbell, and Brian Hyland, the itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini guy. All that and more tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback.
They could have made that title a little bit longer.
That's a great title for a song. Janae and Ronnie Coffee Club joined us in studio. Good morning to the two.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, that's such a cute song. I love it. And when my Carly was little, she was probably like four, she had a little yellow and white polka dot bikini, which I thought was adorable.
Cute.
With her tummy, because she had a tummy.
Was she the one with all the curls, too?
Yeah, cute.
She
was adorable. You bet. All right, what are you guys doing on the Thursday edition of the Coffee Club?
Well, back from vacation, we're going to have Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner on with us at 9 o'clock. Usually he's on with us Wednesdays, but we're doing it today.
Mm-hmm.
And then music on the terrace tonight at Sweet Shots, Mr. Mark Johnson himself will be in, which means we get to play Name That Tune, which
always
everybody loves,
fun.
And
absolutely.
It's so much fun. And then all the usual fun stuff that we do.
All right. Looking forward to it. You guys have a great show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jace, let's get out of here.
All right. You betcha.
All right. Bonnie and friends, we'll be back tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock. Have yourselves a great day. Pay attention to the weather both today and tomorrow. Storms in the forecast. More on that coming up shortly. It is 8:30.